Pain. I felt pain. He's felt pain. That dude's felt pain.
What? No, I haven't felt any pain.
We've all felt pain, because you know what they say, the only things truly guaranteed in life is death and pain. Wait, what about taxes?
Wait, what?
Is this chains for real?
No. And I hate to be all controversial here, but pain? That shit hurts, bro. Specifically, the little shit that just does one damage has no business hurting so bad. Like stubbing your toe or biting your tongue or fucking paper cuts. Like, that shit shouldn't even hurt, bro. It's paper. It's not scary. Oh, shit. And I still remember the first time in my life I ever took some real damage and felt some real pain. And it was back when I was 4 years old. Which, man, I was still learning the controls of life and shit. Like, yeah, I could run, but it was low-key like watching a dude play Fall Guys. If he was drunk, and fried, and asleep. But regardless, one day I was bored doing four-year-old shit, and then I seen my arch nemesis.
A fucking chair.
And I instantly knew what had to be done. I had to assert my athletic dominance by running and jumping over this chair. So I take a deep breath, I run up, jump, and clear this chair clean as hell. Now keep in mind, I was 4 years old, so that was probably the coolest shit I'd ever done in my entire life. So you know I had to show my mom to make her proud of the man I've become. Hey mom, watch this! What the hell are you doing, Chains? Hey, man, just watch and learn. Oh, shit. I fucking ate it, bro. Like, that was the type of pain that hits so hard, you can fucking taste it, and damn, that shit tasted ass, bruh. Like, have you ever taken a soccer ball straight to the schnoz? Cause that shit will have you smelling pain, tasting pennies, and seeing tears. Which is bad, but like, who the fuck invented the funny bone, bruh? Cause that shit ain't funny. Like, bro, you can't just call some painful ass shit funny and expect it to be humorous.
No, the bone is called a humerus.
Yeah, shut up. How humorous is this, buddy?
Not humorous.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And in fact, I think it's the opposite of humorous. Like, yo, did you guys know 1 in 4 dudes is gay?
Yo!
Gee, I sure hope it's Owen, because he's sexy as hell.
Yeah. Y'all hit the funny bone, too.
Yeah,
if I had a pain tier list that went from shit ain't nothing to... I'd probably rate hitting your funny bone a solid. It's the same as stubbing your toe real hard. Like, you just need a moment to take a few deep breaths and say a few slurs, and that shit just heals itself. But if we're looking at some top-tier, brutal, agonizing, excruciating pain, getting kicked in the balls. Now, for you 19.8% female audience, I know you might not be able to understand what this feels like. So let me just give you a quick overview. Imagine having balls, right? Now imagine getting kicked in them. That shit hurts like a bitch. I remember one time in grade 6, me and my homies were playing a good old game of soccer. And we were playing with the big homie. I mean, the really big homie. Like, the dude had more chins than a Chinese phone book. Like, last time we went to a restaurant, bro looked at the menu and said, okay. And I couldn't even tell you how big he really is, because last time he stepped on the scale, it said, one at a time, please. So what I'm trying to say is, he was a big dude, and big dudes got big legs, and big legs produce hard kicks. And during this grade 6 soccer game, I unfortunately found myself leg spread wide open, freshly dropped testes exposed to this absolute unit, wound up to kick the ball, and well, pain. Just pain, bruh. Followed by a moment of silence from everyone on the field. And I don't know if the moment of silence was for me or for my next generation of kids the big homie just wiped out, but I felt that shit. And I felt it in my stomach. And there was really only one sound I was able to make in that moment. Now I know what a lot of you guys are thinking. Getting kicked in the balls is nothing compared to childbirth. Childbirth is so much worse. This guy's a misogynist. And no. I don't give people massages. And I might be the first to tell you this, but I've experienced both getting kicked in the balls and childbirth. And honestly, childbirth wasn't even that painful at all for real. But to be fair, it was probably a little worse for my mom, so like... Now, we all know physical pain very well, but what do you call that deep, torturous pain you feel when your dog dies? in Minecraft. That's that psychological pain, like the pain you feel when you're watching a banger YouTube video and an ad interrupts you out of knowledge. Or like the pain you feel when you just got done making some toast and peanut butter and that shit flops on the floor face first. It doesn't hurt physically, it hurts spiritually. Like, there really is levels to this shit, bro, because now when you start adding psychological pain onto the physical pain of things, we gotta start adding new tiers to this tier list. Because imagine peacefully sleeping in your bed and you get woken up to the pain of your girlfriend kicking you in the balls, which of course hurts physically, but then you realize you don't even have a girlfriend and you live alone. So just to knock a few more off this tier list, a razor scooter to the shin, stepping on Lego is a solid. Now getting stalked in the face is an interesting one, because that shit can range anywhere from all the way to getting the sonic rings knocked out of you. And if that shit's a good enough punch, you might not even feel anything. Now for the tier, I would say that's the shit where you just take one damage, like eating some food that's too hot, or getting a brain freeze, or when you're laying in bed with your phone and that shit slaps you across the face, like it's just minus one HP, and minus five IQ. And if anyone's seen that shit, it's probably a lifetime debt of aura. Now I'ma keep it a stack, for something to be in the shit ain't nothing tier, it's just gotta be a good ass day, bro. Like some days I'll just be feeling invincible, bro, like wake up, roll out of bed. Shit ain't nothing. Eat a nice hot breakfast.
Shit ain't nothing.
Stub my toe while simultaneously getting socked in the face. Shit ain't nothing. Get a bad phone call.
Yeah, Shane. This is Dr. D's. I'm sorry to break the news to you, but, you know, you tested positive for chlamydia.
Hey, man. Shit ain't nothing. Oh, shit. Who's this?
Yeah, I wasn't finished. You also tested positive for herpes, syphilis, gonorrhea, hepatitis. You got a whole ecosystem on your shit. Honestly, at this point, our best bet is just to chop that thing clean off.
Shit ain't nothing.
No, yeah, no. No, it's definitely something. We're chopping your meat off.
Yeah, but on some days, bruh, it's just like... Yeah, nah, that's it. I quit. I'm done. I'm going to sleep. Good night. And I know this might sound like some freaky ass shit, but I feel like some pain low-key feels good, bro. Like, in school, I used to always put the front chair legs on my feet just to feel the pain. Or even, like, eating some spicy ass food or, like...
Oh, yeah, or like, getting spanked.
Yeah, no?
The
no?
Fuck?
Nah. Nah, I was thinking something more like taking a really hot shower or, like...
Getting
like,
whipped.
No?
Yo, George, shut the fuck up, bro. I'm trying to make a video.
Sorry, my fault, pimp. My fault.
Yeah, alright.
Or what about when you, like,
getting slapped in the face?
Bro, shut the fuck up.
Hey, yo!
Everyone experiences being drunk differently, and it can change from time to time as well. But I'd say most people fall into a few general categories, one of which is the aggressive drinker. These people have to have pent up and saved anger for years. They just decide to let it all loose when they take a sip of alcohol. I feel like they might even just be using drinking as an excuse to stalk someone in the face. And the main problem with aggressive drinkers is there's always at least one of them at every function. Sometimes they can be tamed. But if you just let them do their thing, then the function just turns into the Battle of Vimy Ridge, bro. You don't want your friends to be aggressive drinkers. Because when they do something stupid, you just have no choice but to back them up, because that's your homie. Coming up next, we have the depressed drinker. I know lots of people who are usually happy and energetic, but when they start drinking, all of a sudden they think I'm their therapist or something. Like, of course I want to help my boy if he's in his feels, but I'm hammered too, bro. I can't help you get your ex back. Now listen, I'm no scientist, but alcohol is a depressant, which means, like, it makes you depressed? Bro, I don't... Pretty much what I'm trying to say is, if alcohol makes you sad sometimes, don't worry, it's normal. Next up, we have the flirty drinker. Now, these types of people are a common appearance at parties. They just kind of go stumble over to someone and just start spitting game. One thing I do respect about flirty drinkers is that they're perseverant, bro. When they get rejected by someone, they just take it like a champ. Keep pushing to the next one. Usually flirty drinkers go rotate around the party and try for their first few contenders, but eventually at the end of the night, flirty drinkers will end up attracting other flirty drinkers, then boom, everyone's happy. And come on, everyone knows the I love you guy. Man, I love you, man. Nah, like, I don't think you understand. Like, I really love you, man. And whatever you need, I got you, bro. And I just really love you, man.
Bro, who the fuck are you?
And of course, we got the designated driver. Next, we got the loud one. Hey, bro, sometimes the alcohol just makes people talk way too loud. In some settings, it'll slide. But in other settings, at parties, these are usually the type of people to be in the mosh pits, because they're always super high energy, and sometimes they can be kind of annoying. Man, who would be this type of drunk, am I right? Alright, it's me. And if anyone else is this type of drinker, I know you can relate. When you wake up the next morning, not only do you get hit with the hangover, but your voice is just completely gone. And I'm not even usually a loud person. But man, alcohol just works its magic and has me yelling like Kai Sinat. Hangovers being this type of drinker has to be one of the worst. I guess next to aggressive drinkers, you know what I'm saying? Anyways, we're moving on. You also might have encountered the philosopher. I couldn't tell you why, but for whatever reason, after taking 5 shots, some motherfuckers just become a philosopher, bro. They just have philosophical questions coming out of nowhere. And they low-key be spitting too. Hey man, love doesn't even exist, bro. It's all just an illusion. Love is just a chemical reaction that occurs in your brain that was programmed to make us inclined to reproduce. Next up, we have the OD, overdrunk. This is the 7th and final stage of being drunk. If you've seen the 7 stages of the drunk video, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But some people are just prone to drinking way too much. And somehow, they always find themselves blackout drunk. But, yeah, there's not much to say. They're pretty much just unconscious. And of course, we have the chill drinker. These people are just pretty neutral. They just be talking at a normal volume about normal stuff. And honestly, these people are just overall enjoyable to be around, especially when you're drunk. Let me know in the comments if I missed anything. And also let me know which type of drinker you are.
Billy is one of my closest homies, and we've been friends ever since we were little kids. And for as long as I can remember, Billy's been a dumbass, bro. I'm talking, he's slightly retarded, you know what I mean? And everyone knows Billy for just 2 things. Always making the absolute worst decision possible, and always having the best stories, bro. Like, statistically, this motherfucker should have died 61 different times already, bro.
Nah, I got plot armor, bro.
Bro, no you don't.
I do.
Man, shut the fuck.
Hey! What the fuck?
Now, this story takes place on February 14th, 2025, Valentine's Day. And I'm gonna be so honest. This story is one of the craziest stories I've ever heard in my life, bro. So, wait, can you swear to them that is real?
It is.
Say you swear.
I swear, bro.
On everything you love, the Valentine's story happened, bro.
On everything I love, the Valentine's story really happened.
It was a fine Valentine's Day night. Bob, Billy, and I were awesome single dudes, except Billy had a little situation. You know, he was talking to a girl named Elise, and they would hang out from time to time, but it was a new thing, so they weren't really dating, and they were definitely not Valentine. I don't know much about Elise, but just 2 weeks prior, Billy was telling me about how he met some cute girl. They would text, they would hang out, but for whatever reason, their conversations would always be some like,
hey, how you doing?
Oh, I'm good. I am a little bit stressed because I'm moving and everything.
Oh yeah, moving sucks. How about you come over, I relieve all your stress type shit.
Billy, I really like you.
I like you too, Elise.
But I think you might be a whore.
Wait, what?
You're most likely a bop.
Okay, wait, I mean,
you're
like,
definitely a fuckboy.
Okay, chill now. I've never fucked a boy in my life.
So keeping that in mind, we were all single, and this Valentine's happened to land on a Friday, and because of this,
we going to the club.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the plan was simple. We go to the drink store to get something to pregame, go back to my house, and then hit the club, fall in love, and live happily ever after. Now the problem was, Billy was stuck working a 9.5-hour shift until 10 p.m. Now he was the pizza delivery guy for a chain we'll call
Big
So he's doing his thing, delivering those Valentine's pizzas. Well, me and Bob decide that we would go get the drinks now and meet Billy back at the crib once he's off work. So we hop in the car, we get to the drink store, and at this point, it's 9:30 p.m. And so Bob calls Billy to ask what he wants. No answer. I call him. No answer. We both text him. Nothing. Now, this was strange, because Billy usually responds while he's working, but we shrug it off. We go inside the store and get Billy his go-to bottle. So we go back to my house and get to my room at about 10 p.m. and still no word from Billy. So we're waiting for a good 20 minutes and then I get a text message from Billy. The craziest shit ever just happened. So I'm like, what happened? Bro, it's so crazy, I need to tell you in person. So Billy whips her over to my house, kicks down the door, and instantly starts breaking down the craziest plot I've ever heard, bruh.
Yo, listen, this story takes place 1 hour ago.
It was 9:30 p.m. and Billy was finishing up a long 9.5 hour shift with his very last delivery of the night, but the problem was his phone was on 1% and he didn't even have a charger. So Billy locks in and memorizes all the directions to get there right before his phone dies. So from one side of the city, Billy goes 100% straight off the dome to the other side of the city for his last delivery on this fine Valentine's Day night. Billy hops out the car, walks up to the house, knocks, and they open the door.
Hey man, happy Valentine's Day.
Aw, thank you. Thank you so much, but I didn't order a pizza.
Oh shit, are you sure?
Gerald, did we order a pizza?
Fuck no!
Yeah, no, we didn't order a pizza.
I don't know, it says a Meat Lover's Pizza for 3516.
Aw, honey, no, this is 3416. 3516 is all the way around the back of the cul-de-sac.
Oh, okay, thank you, have a good night.
So Billy's walking for a good 8 minutes to get to the back of the cul-de-sac where at last, he finds 3516. He walks up to the door, knocks, and a fine-looking woman in her 40s opens the door holding a vape, and Billy sees a little potential here.
Hey, happy Valentine's Day, man.
Aw, thank you.
Of course, beautiful. How's your Valentine's Day going?
You know, it's okay.
Why's this okay? You ain't got no special plans?
Well, honestly, my husband's out drinking at the bar, so... Bro, this was the perfect situation for Billy, bro. There's so many things he could say to make a move right here, and out of the infinite combinations of words he could put together, he says...
Well... A man's got a drink, you know?
Yeah, okay, yeah, well, anyways, here you go. Keep the change. Have a good one. Billy fucking sold, bruh. He missed a wide open layup, and as he turns around to head back to his car in shame, Billy gets an idea. A genius idea, if I do say so myself. So Billy turns back around, walks back up to the door, and knocks again.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, so, my car, like the pizza car, is on the other side of the cul-de-sac, so if there's any way I could cut through, it would save me like 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, of course, come in. And this motherfucker just got his own rebound off the backboard, bro, but he only has 60 seconds on the shot clock to make a move, and so he starts breaking down that professional barrier.
So, what's your name?
My name's Angelina. What's your name?
My name's Billy.
Wow, you have a very beautiful name.
And you have a very beautiful smile.
Ah, thank you. Holy fucking shit, he was cooking, but they had made it to the basement, meaning he only has 30 seconds left before he's back to the cold, lonely outside world. So Billy cooks up yet another genius play.
Angelina, I really hate to ask, but is there any way I could charge my phone real quick? Like, I just need to get it to like 5%.
Of course, honey, sit down. It's no worries at all. This motherfucker, Billy. Did it again, bro. Now, I don't know if it's because she just wanted some human connection on his Valentine's night or she was genuinely just being nice, but this motherfucker's now in a position where he's posted up on this woman's couch in her basement at 10 p.m. on a Valentine's night.
Yo, what flavor is that?
Oh, it's mango ice. It's my favorite.
Damn. You think I could take a hit?
Only if I could hit chores.
Oh, shit, I bet.
So as these two fiends are bonding over a little nicotine addiction, Billy's like,
so you said your husband went up to the bar?
Yeah, yeah, he did. To be honest, it kind of hurts, because, like, it just sucks to be alone on Valentine's Day, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I feel you. I don't go to Valentine either. Type shit.
Now, at this very moment, Billy's about to shoot a shot farther than a three-pointer. Farther than a half-court, full-court football field. This was a blindfolded shot from Mars by a six-year-old kid with Down syndrome, bruh.
I mean, shit. We could be Valentine's tonight.
Oh, that's so sweet, but, my daughter's upstairs.
Ah, shit, yeah, yeah. I get it, but, like, this couch low-key spacious, though.
I mean, it's not that spacious.
Really?
Billy, you're funny. Now, at this moment, Billy's 0 for 3 with these shots. I mean, the defense line was tough. She's got a whole husband and a daughter who's just posted upstairs, probably waiting for that fucking pizza. But to be fair, Billy was still on the court, but his phone was already at a good 3% charge, so he needs a game-winning shot right now until he reaches deep into his bag. I'm talking middle school years. He pulls out a shot I never thought I would see in the big 2025.
This flavor's fire. Yo, let me show you a new trick.
Yeah? What is it?
Alright, so it's called a transfer. Basically, me and you just transfer the smoke.
Okay, teach me.
You gotta come closer, though, alright?
This motherfucker Billy switched a shot, bro, against all odds. Just 15 minutes ago, he was some bum delivering her Big Caesar's pizza. All of a sudden, now she's hot and ready, bruh. And so Billy's making out with some random dude's wife for a good 5 minutes. Then she's like...
Is your phone charged?
Yeah, I appreciate it. You know, let me charge everything.
Of course, honey, it's my pleasure.
All right, I'm gonna text you.
Okay, drive safe. And Billy leaves this married mother's house after making out with her as the fucking pizza delivery guy. Bro, what the fuck? Billy, are you dead ass?
I swear to God.
Bro, that story is fucking insane.
I mean, shit. I'm not dumb, bro.
Because if there's one thing that Big Caesar's taught Billy, it was how to deliver, bro. So he takes the receipt, boom, takes her number down and texts her. So he drives back to Big Caesar's, goes in, clocks out, hops in a car, drives home, goes inside, showers up, gets out the shower to check his phone. No response.
Damn.
So Billy tries calling her straight to voicemail. He changes the no caller ID and calls again, and it rings, meaning... She blocked his ass, bro, and I have no clue why she would do such a thing. I mean, like, yeah, she has a husband and, like a kid and probably another boyfriend on the side, but damn, say something. And that's the moment when he gets a Snapchat notification. Elise has added you as a friend. Now, Elise is the girl he's been talking to on Snapchat, so why would she even have him unadded in the first place? So Billy's like,
you unadded me?
And she just hits him back with a WID.
Shit, I just got off work. What you doing?
I'm just chilling at home. And then there's a brief pause. Do you know whose house you were just in?
Do I know whose house I was just in? I've been to her house before. She doesn't even live close to...
Wait. And Billy starts piecing everything together. How Elise was moving houses. All the boxes laid out in that woman's house. How Elise's family loved eating Big Caesars. And the woman's daughter... being upstairs the whole time.
Oh, fuck.
Billy hooked up with his girl's mom. Now, we have no clue what her mom told her, because it makes the most sense that she says something along the lines of,
hey, why did the pizza dude take so long?
Elise, I think he was flirting with me. Because let's be honest, what is the other option, bruh?
Hey, why did the pizza dude take so long?
Yeah, no, I mean, I just cheated on your father with the Big Caesar's pizza delivery guy who actually just happens to be your age. So Billy's texting Elise, trying to play it cool, like,
oh, I had no clue that was your house. What are the chances?
And she just says,
yeah. I get my good looks from my mom.
And then she blocked him again, bro. Because after telling her 100 times that he's not a hoe, he's not a bop, he's not a fuckboy.
I accidentally hooked up with her mom, bro.
Billy, you know I gotta make a video about this, right?
Yeah, I know.
So, a few years ago, I worked at a fast food restaurant. We'll just call it Jim Jordan's, you know what I'm saying? Jim Jordan's was my first job ever. So, coming in on my first day, I was kind of excited, you know, because it was just overall a new experience, so I was looking forward to it. So, I walked through the doors, and, you know, it's looking like a nice establishment so far. But as soon as you step past the staff gate, you realize it's instantly a hellhole. Like, this is exactly what it was like.
Hi there, can I take your order?
Yo, who's
Double Double.
Yo, hello. It's my first day.
Can I take your order?
And bro, once they give you the Jim Jordan's drip, you instantly lose value as a human, bro. For example, if you're going for a casual stroll down the street, an average interaction would look something like this. Hey, how are you? Good, how are you? Good. You know, just average small talk things. But once you throw on that Jim Jordan's drip, hey, what can I get for medium black coffee? Make my coffee faster, bitch. And while I was working here, it was just the beginning of the pandemic. Meaning, on top of the gym drip, you also had to wear a mask. So pretty much people could just see your eyes. And trying to communicate during the pandemic was horrible. Because not only did both parties have to wear a mask, there was this big plastic wall between us. And they had to stand 6 feet away. Hi, what can I get for you?
What?
I said, hi, what
can... Huh?
Ma'am, what can I get for you?
Oh, I'm good. Thanks for asking.
Oh my god, bro.
And man, I already made a video on NPCs, but working in any sort of drive-thru, you'll figure out that drive-thrus are NPCs' prime real estate. It's just like back-to-back-to-back NPCs. And when you don't have your average NPC, you'll have a below-average IQ NPC. Like, there was this one lady that would come through every day, and all my coworkers knew her as the coupon lady. Because every day she would try and use coupons, but somehow never understand how they work. Alright, your total is 1567.
Okay, I'm gonna use a coupon.
Alright.
What are you waiting for?
The coupon?
Oh, it's just at my house.
And don't get me started on my manager, Magnus, bro. Next time I see Magnus, it's on site.
Wait a minute, James, is that you?
The longer I worked there, Magnus just started getting a little bit too comfortable on booking my shifts. After about 10 months of working there, she just decided to give me 5 a.m. shifts every time. And that wasn't even in my availability. So, you know, I would send a polite and professional email, and she would just hit me with some shit like, okay. Then just continue to book me at 5 a.m, bro. So I ended up working there for about a year and a half. And like most people at minimum wage jobs, when you're there for long enough, you just start to care a lot less about getting fired. I mean, I was snatching donuts, whipping myself up some food whenever no one was looking, and hooking up all my homies with free everything. And eventually, I just got tired of waking up at 4:30 every shift, so I put in my 2 weeks. And during these last 2 weeks, I did not give a fudge cake, bro. I was out here setting up coffee cups and playing basketball with the gym bits. And if someone was kinda polite to me, I would just hook them up with a free donut. And I remember on my last day, I was working a night shift, and it was just about 15 minutes before I got off forever. And some dudes rolled up in the drive-thru baked as hell. Hey dude, can you check how much is on this gift card really quick? Yeah, you got 21 cents on it. What can we get for 21 cents? One sec. I just went to the back and cleared the shelves of every single donut in sight, and I just sauced them all for free. Yo, thank you so much, dude. You're the GOAT.
Can't believe this cost 21 cents.
So yeah, that was my experience working fast food, and it's definitely not fun, but I feel like it's a valuable experience. Because now that I know I hate working there so much, I'm gonna work hard enough so you will never catch me working in fast food ever again, bro. My very first time getting a taste of that enchanted broccoli. It was a very special time in my life. In fact, it shaped me to become the stick man you see today. Now, if you've seen this video, you would know my very first time being baked was also my first time being drunk. Because you see, what happened was I had ate some magic brownies and they didn't kick in for a while. So I came to the solid conclusion that, bro, these edibles ain't shit. So I chug some vodka and next thing I know, I'm fucking obliterated. And through me mixing these two substances for the very first time of trying each, I was unable to truly take in the full experience of being zooted. Cause you know, I was fucking slumped. So fast forward about a month after the edible incident, me and Bob were trying to see what being baked really felt like. Keep in mind, we were in grade 7 at this point, and at Stickman Middle School, you got +3 clout points if you ever smoked some grass. So naturally, we were fiending for some Mary Jane, and we had just the person to call. Yo, Billy. Hey, what's up? Me and Bob were trying to smoke some marijuana. Shut up. The feds might have tapped my phone, bro. Chill. Oh, shit. My bad. I meant we're trying to blow some pipes. Hey, yo, pause. What the fuck? We're trying to inhale Satan's
spinach? I don't know.
I bet. I got some gas for you boys. Meet me at Stickman Park at 6 p.m. sharp.
Okay, bet.
And soon enough, it was 6 p.m. sharp, and we were posted at Stickman Park. The homie Billy pulls up fully equipped with the gas.
Yo, we gotta find somewhere discreet to do this.
Oh, let's do it in the trees over there.
Alright, that works.
So we walk into this little forest with a bench in it, and Billy whips out the pipe.
What the fuck
is that?
It's a pipe. I took it from my sister's room.
Bro, are you sure you didn't accidentally take her dildo instead?
Shut up, bro. Lots of people smoke out of these bad boys.
I don't know. There's just something about the way that it's shaped. It kind of
looks... Are we smoking or not?
Yeah, we're smoking.
And then Billy takes out a plastic bag with a thug ass.
Yo, take a whiff of this shit.
And at this point, I had never got a sniff of the za before. So when I did take a whiff,
damn, that's some strong shit right there.
Hell yeah.
And I got it from the plug for 50% off.
Damn, bro, this is gonna get us high as hell.
So Billy packed the pipe and handed it to me. He whipped out the lighter and said, suck it.
Hey, yo, pause.
Oh my, alright, I inhale.
Oh, I got you.
And there it was, my very first hit of the Zaza. And I was coughing up a storm. And as Bob was taking his hit, I was sitting there like, am I high yet? Like, is this what it's supposed to feel like?
Nah, you gotta smoke some more to get baked.
So Billy packs some more into the pipe and hands it to me. I inhale. But still nothing. So me and Bob are looking at each other like,
bro, are we like invincible or some shit?
I think so.
And Billy's like, no, you have to inhale and hold it in your lungs for as long as possible.
So I try it. I inhale, I held it, and then I was coughing up a storm again. We repeated these steps for like 20 minutes and still nothing. Now, me and Bob didn't know shit when it came to the topic of devil's lettuce, so we were just taking Billy's word for everything.
Yo, don't worry, it'll hit you in like an hour.
So we walk back to Bob's crib, and sure enough, an hour goes by.
Yo, are you high yet?
Nah, I still feel normal. What about you?
Yeah, I'm chilling.
So we waited and waited all night, and nothing happened. Now, a quick scientific analysis of the situation. What had happened was, Billy's plug saw that he was 13 and realized he could make a quick buck off him. So he had given him 50% off, however, he gave him straight stems. Now, if you're not sure what this means, let me break it down for you using, enchanted broccoli. Now, we all know that broccoli is a nutritious vegetable. However, a wide majority of the nutrients are packed directly in the broccoli crown, leaving the stem of the broccoli with very small amounts of nutrients in comparison to the top part. This means that eating the top part of the broccoli will indeed make you big and strong. However, the stem itself lacks the capacities to, quote-unquote, make you big and strong, if you know what I'm saying. Remember, eat your broccoli. So essentially, me and Bob were smoking that doo-doo pack. Smoking straight Reggie. So Bob and I felt as though we needed some redemption, and we knew just the perfect day to do it. April 20th, 420. So today was the day we would really know what being zooted felt like. So me, Billy, and Bob went over to our homie's house, because we knew this homie in particular would have the facilities to celebrate April 20th. So we knock on his door, he lets us in, and the first thing this motherfucker says is,
so, are we smoking fat today or what?
Hey, yes, sir.
Alright, follow me.
So we followed the homie into his mom's room, and when he opened her closet, she was equipped with every kind of grass you could imagine. He snatched a few pre-rolls and we went to his backyard. He lit up the first J and passed it straight to me. And after all these years, it felt as though my entire life had led me up to this very moment. I took a hit and got my real first taste of that Mary Jane. So we passed around the J's for a bit, and my eyes and mouth started to dry up. So I'm like, alright, I'm gonna go get some water really quick. And the moment I stand up, it all hits at once. I just remember everything going into slow motion, and it felt like I was watching myself in a movie, almost like it was a third person perspective. So I head into the homie's bedroom and I lay down on his bed because I was really trying to comprehend what the fuck was going on. Cause my frame rates were dropping, my time perception was fucked, and I was hungry as shit. So when Billy, Bob, and the homie walk into the room with snacks, bro, I was a munch. And so for the rest of the night, the four of us just chilled out, ate some snacks, and enjoyed our very first time with that enchanted broccoli.
Awkward conversations. We all know them, and we all hate them. Hey, how are you? Oh, I'm good. How are you? I'm great. How are you? You already asked me that. Damn, you right. You right. So, how's your day going? My pet frog just died. Damn, that's tough. I find myself taking the most inconvenient routes to avoid an awkward conversation. Like, I can't really explain the feeling of an awkward conversation, but it's just mildly uncomfortable. Like, I would compare the discomfort levels of an awkward conversation to wearing wet socks. Like, it's not the end of the world. But let's keep it real, no one wants to wear wet socks. And honestly, I would take a slightly inconvenient path if it meant I would not have to wear wet socks. Also, I feel like there's some other situations that are in the awkward conversation family that I also hate. For example, the handshake fist bump dilemma.
Yeah, it was nice seeing you.
Yeah.
Oh, fist bump.
God damn it. After you experience one of these bad boys, you'll be thinking about it cringing for the next hour. And if you're anything like me, you might even lose some sleep over it.
Now why the fuck they're not going for the handshake, bruh? Obviously it was a handshake.
And what about the good old you said goodbye to the person you're talking to, but you guys both walk the same way? Situation. I mean, this situation is the perfect way to ruin a smooth conversation.
Yeah, man, it was really nice to see you.
Yeah, for sure. See you later, bro.
Alright, peace out.
alright, bye. Bye.
Shit, we're still walking the same way? I'll just turn this way so it's not awkward.
Man, what the fuck? And even if I say goodbye to someone and we're still in the same general location, I will avoid them at all costs. Like once me and my brother were chilling at Walmart, and we saw one of our neighbors, so we talked for a little bit, you know, said our farewells, and went separate ways. But when it came time for me and my brother to check out, we saw the same neighbors checking out. And we were up in the Walmart looking like we were playing Assassin's Creed in real life.
It's clear.
And of course, I can't forget about awkward silence. Yeah, that's funny. Me personally, I have some procedures in place to avoid awkward silence no matter what. For example, my philosophy is to just say things. Yeah, that's funny. So do you play Minecraft?
What kind of question is that?
In the end, they may think I'm a dumbass, but at least there's no awkward silence, you know what I'm saying?
Everyone has encountered countless NPCs during their lives. Like, you know, the people that just spawned in. They didn't have any character development or anything. And to be honest, when you leave their vicinity, they probably just despawn. If you still have no clue what an NPC is, it's a non-playable character. They're like the type of people you could sock in the face and they'd say some NPC-ass line, like... Hey! And I know at least some NPCs have to exist. Cause let's be real, there is no way all 7 billion people on this planet have whole lives from start to finish. That just doesn't add up. And I don't know if any of you guys have ever noticed this, but NPCs all have a spot they go to just do NPC things, bro. For example, if you go to Walmart, that's their natural habitat. You are bound to see at least 15 NPCs at Walmart. And usually the NPCs are trying to avoid eye contact. But if you've ever tried interacting with them, you'll know they always have the most predictable and neutral responses possible. Like, whoever programmed them should have spiced it up a little bit, you know what I'm saying? They could have made him tell jokes or something, I don't know. But anyways, I used to work at a summer camp where you teach little kids to ride bikes. And through this experience, I realized that pretty much all young kids are NPCs. And I guess it's just because they haven't been alive long enough to actually go through the character development. But working at this summer camp made me realize there's no way these kids have a thought process. Hey, buddy, what's wrong?
I dropped my rock.
Here you go. But I guess little kids still aren't even at the stage of having full consciousness. And honestly, they kind of have that caveman mindset. Eat something. But I mean, you can't really blame them, because they've only been alive for a few years. But still, as a non-NPC, I'd like to believe I was never participating in these NPC activities as a kid. I refuse to believe I was out here spending my time doing this. But yeah, man, I really just want to know if there's any NPCs watching this right now. If there is,
just fess up, bro.
Because I don't even know if NPCs be on YouTube, or if they just, like, despawn before they can do that. But regardless, if you're an NPC or not, thank you for watching this video.
Subscribe.
If you saw this video, you would know my very first time drinking, I got both high and drunk at the same time. But my first time being drunk takes place back when I was like 14 or 15. And this story takes place at my grandma's crib. No, listen, I know that sounds bad, but like, I mean, it's pretty bad. So the story starts with me and my brother pulling up to the family function. And right off the bat, we notice the chill cousins are nowhere to be seen. So instantly, we can tell it's gonna be a long night of engaging in conversations about school, sports, my lack of ability to pull bitches. And about 5 minutes after arriving, you know, I'm just doing some good old small talk.
Oh, hey bud, how's school going?
Oh, you know, it's going.
And, how's sports going?
Yeah, the sports are good.
Nice.
So, the weather lately, huh? And then after about 20 minutes, me and my brother are just getting our shit flamed by every member of the family.
No wonder you can't get a girlfriend. You're ugly as shit.
Damn, that was just mean.
And don't get me started on you. You had a 3-year head start and still can't get any bitches.
And honestly, we just can't say anything back, because last time I tried...
Man, still no girlfriend. That's brutal.
Not as brutal as your third divorce, am I right? Guys, so instead of flaming the living shit out of this grown man in front of his mom, I decide to be the bigger man. I just laughed that shit off. And then got the fuck out of there before they brought up my school grades. So as my brother and I sit down in a different room, I'm just in agony thinking about how everything this dude flamed me for was actually true. But my brother, on the other hand, he was whipping up some devious plan. Yo, Chains, follow me.
Oh, okay.
So we walk down to the basement. So, what are we doing in the basement? He opens a cupboard full of alcohol. Bro just cracks the seal on some vodka and starts downing that shit. Now, usually, I would know this is a bad idea, but to be honest, I just got done getting my entire existence shit on by my own family. So I'm really just trying to drink my pain away at this point. I mean, we were passing that bottle drinking like rent was due and the wife was taking the kids. So with that being said, we got a little hammered. And keep in mind, this was my first time being drunk. So as soon as I stood up, I ate shit. It was like I had to relearn the controls of life. But we had to get out of the basement or else we'd look suspicious. So our drunk asses plug walked our way up the stairs. But we were trying to act as casual as possible. So we sit back down with the rest of the family like we didn't just down a bottle of vodka. And me and my bro were just sitting there looking at each other trying not to laugh. But the next thing I knew, this dude Uncle Jerry was back on my ass.
Hey look, Dumb and Dumber are back.
And at this point, I'm using every bone in my body not to end this man's whole career.
Man, whose gene is it that made you so damn hideous?
Don't do it, bro. Don't do it, bro. And I really didn't want to do him like that, but the vodka took control. It was your hideous gene, Gerald. But at least I didn't get the same gene that has you 5'2 and balding. Like, I can't tell if you're going through puberty or a midlife crisis. And shit, I didn't stop there. And Joe, I want to hear you talking. You're built like Baymax from Big Hero 6.
What the fuck is Big Hero 6?
Mom, I love you. Karen, sit down. Your mac and cheese tastes like ass. And Bob, you're literally a registered sex offender. Grandma, I love you. Bernard, your hairline looks like it's social distancing from your eyebrows. And Irene, how are you 47 and still work at McDonald's? And you got no drip. Come on, bro. Friendly fire. Oh, shit. You're right. My bad. Needless to say, I was handing out smoke to everybody. Something in that vodka turned me to a demon. And I guess since everyone was mad at me for dissing the entire family, they never knew I was drunk as hell. But in the end, I did feel really bad for roasting my entire family tree. But ever since that day, everybody stopped flaming me. So, it was worth it.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year!
Oh my god.
Yeah,
let's go.
For my New Year's resolution, I'm gonna go on a diet.
Nice.
Oh, and I'm gonna quit vaping.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm gonna go vegan.
Oh, nice.
And I'm gonna stop beating mommy.
Oh.
3 days later.
Man, fuck the diet.
Right? I didn't even want to go vegan anyways.
Wait. Guys, where's Jonathan?
Alright, I'm gonna keep it a stack. This New Year's resolution thing is a whole lot of bullshit. Some goddamn buffoonery. A heaping pile of fucking horse cum. Like, don't get me started on these New Year, New Me motherfuckers, man. Like, dyeing your hair and getting another piercing doesn't change shit. Now you're just broke, depressed, and lonely in a different font. And I'm not gonna pretend like I don't see you motherfuckers in the gym for the first 2 weeks. Like, come on now. You and I both know as soon as you get out of this gym, you're about to pick up a large strawberry milkshake, a Big Mac with no pickles, and a side of chicken nuggets, and it's disgusting. But Chains, how do you know down to the exact specifications of the order?
'Cause shit, I'm about to get the same damn thing.
Because the devastating truth is, a new year doesn't change jack shit. And if you're watching this in 2022, I'm really not trying to kill the hopes and dreams of 2023, but let's be honest, if you really wanted to be jacked, you would start working out, bro. Like, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but the Earth orbiting the sun one more time isn't gonna get you any bitches, bro. 'Cause trust me, I would know. Now, as a stick man like myself, I can't fuck with New Year's resolutions because it's always the same shit. Like,
3, 2, 1, Happy New Year!
Oh, hey, man, Happy New Year's. Well, what's your New Year's resolution?
Oh, it's 1080p. What about you?
Oh, yeah, same.
But did you see Ethan, bro?
Nah, what's his?
Yo, he's got 4K.
Yo, what's up, dudes?
Ooh, look at the quality on this guy.
Damn, wait, do you hear that noise?
Yeah, what is that?
Oh, shit, it's Chains. He got 480p again.
Shit.
Fuck, this guy is 480p again. God.
Damn. That whole New Year's resolution bit was unfunny as fuck. Like, corny as shit.
Well, speaking of corny jokes, New Year's seems like the time when motherfuckers feel like it's okay to start whipping out the most overused and unfunniest jokes of all time.
Oh, hey, Chains, well, watch this.
One. Happy New Year.
Oh, hey, Chains, I haven't seen you since last year. So you know how it's going to be 2020 soon, right?
Yeah, what about it?
Well, I got 2020 vision. Now, I know it sounds like I'm on some bahumbug shit, but New Year's does have a lot of great things about it. Like the parties, the fireworks, the
the parties. And so you may be thinking, Chains, why are you like the Grinch of New Year's resolutions? Why do you hate New Year's resolutions so much? Well, the truth is, my hatred for New Year's resolutions dates way, way, way back to 2016. It was December 31st. New Year's Eve, 11:59 p.m. This was the very day when a young, hopeful Chains decided my New Year's resolution would be to acquire a girlfriend. I tried and I tried, but as 2022 comes to an end, my girlfriend remains unacquired. Man, way back when, there was a time when you couldn't catch anyone under the age of 30 chiefing a vape. Until one day at Vaporizer Laboratories, they were cooking up and made a flavor that would change the game forever. Cotton candy. Now this revolutionary flavor forced these grown-ass 30-year-old men to take a good look in the mirror and ask themselves,
damn. What do I look like as a grown-ass man sucking on this goddamn cotton candy stick?
So they do what any responsible adult would do. They give it to their children. I mean, sit, kids love cotton candy. All of a sudden, business is booming for Vaporizer Laboratories, so they start cooking up even harder. Boom, Sour Patch Kids juice. Boom, applesauce juice. And boom, baby food juice. These babies will be sucking that shit like a soother. Kids' first words will be looking like,
oh my god, honey, Jackson's gonna say his first words.
Yeah. Oh, let's hear it. Yo.
Yo, Pops. Well, let me bum a hit off that 50 Nick Guava Ice, G.
Yo, just wait till they drop that breast milk flavor, bro. Shit, these newborn babies won't even know what hit them. They'll be returning customers for life, which will probably be like 12 years max. Now, the reason I say all this is to let you know that vaping not only intruded my high school years, but also my years in middle school. I was first introduced to these bad boys at the ripe age of 13. And with a little bit of that good old peer pressure, I folded, bro. Like, what was I supposed to do, bro? Like not take the hit?
No.
I probably should not have taken a hit. But from that point on, I started doing a little dabbling, you know. I mean, as a 13-year-old, there's only one answer to someone asking, yo, dude, you want to try a hit of this blueberry guacamole milkshake ice flavor, dude? And that answer is, abso-fucking-lutely, dude. And I was never a fiend or anything, but I will say, I popped a few ghosts and blown a few O's back in my day, but it had never gotten to the point of me owning a vape. Until one day. This story takes place way, way, way back in grade 7. Me and the boys were posted in science class dissecting cow balls or some shit when Mr. Principal burst through the door like,
is Tessa here?
Yeah, she's right there.
And I look at Tessa and she just tosses her vape over to her homie, Kate. And I seen that shit clear as day, but Mr. Principal's old ass must have forgot to wear his contacts or something. Cause he runs a quick pat down on Tessa looking for said vape, but sure enough, he doesn't find it.
Miss Rhodes told me you were vaping in her class. Is this true?
No, I would never.
Okay.
And then the bell rang and everybody knew what that meant. It was Nut Break. Now, I don't know who the fuck decided to name our recess Nut Break, but I will say, most of the students understood that that shit was short for Nutrition Break. However, some kids took it a little too literally. Weird ass school, man. But this specific nut break, you best believe, me and the boys weren't busting nuts or eating nutritional foods because Billy had something else on his mind. Yo, who's got you smiling like that?
Who, me?
Nah, it's nobody. It's nobody.
Yo, wait, you got a crush on Tessa?
What? Tessa? Me? Yeah. Yeah, I got a crush on her. Yeah.
Oh, sick. Go talk to her, bro.
Talk to her. No. Bro, it's simple. She's new to the school. She's probably looking for some friends, so just walk over and introduce yourself.
You're right. I'm just going to do it.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I
did I just sell that shit?
Yup. You did.
Then the bell rings and we all go to PE class. Now in my middle school, your class was your class. You just have the same students and the same underqualified teacher teaching everything. Like, Lord knows Mr. Donaldson shouldn't be teaching PE, but shit,
here we are. And so while we're playing dodgeball, I'm trying to coach Billy on how to confess his love for Tessa, but I'ma keep it a buck. I was speaking straight out of my ass, bro. I don't know the first thing about confessing love. Listen, bro, I'm the expert when it comes to confessing love. All you gotta do is walk up with confidence, introduce yourself, and then ask her to be your girlfriend, bro. Okay, simple. Let's practice. Hey, Vanessa. My name's Billy, and, Do you want to be my girlfriend?
Damn.
And after the proper training, by the time lunch came around, Billy was prepared to do what had to be done. All right, listen, bro. Whatever happens out there, me and Bob got your back. And remember, the worst he can say is no, bro. All right, I'm ready. You got this. Hey, Vanessa. I'm Billy. I seen you in science class today, and you were looking very pretty, and, Do you want to be my girlfriend?
Fuck no!
She laughed, bro. She laughed in Billy's face. And he walks back to us with tears in his eyes.
She laughed at me, bro.
Well, at least you know what they say.
What?
If you can make her laugh and giggle, you can make the cheeks clap and
jiggle. Not right now, bro.
You're right. Too soon. Needless to say, that brother Billy went home that night, listened to Juice WRLD, and cried himself to sleep. Shit, the next day, Billy didn't even say a word, but I could hear Lucid Dreams on full blast in those earbuds. Man, it's a tough sight to see. Next thing I know, Mr. Principal burst in the class talking about,
"Alright, Tessa, in my office right now."
Now, I don't know why she was in trouble, but whatever she was accused of, she's guilty, bro. And she's also guilty on 1/3 degree count of breaking my man's heart. And as I'm busy praying on Tessa's downfall, I get a little tap on my shoulder like, "Psst, take this. Mr. Principal's looking for it, and he's not gonna check you."
Whose is it?
It's Tessa's.
Don't worry.
It's safe with me. And it was safe with me. Cause that shit was now mine. The only way she could get it back is if she repaired my boy Billy's heart, and that just wasn't happening. And soon enough, Tessa comes back from Mr. Principal's office, and she didn't say a word. We had nut break, nothing. We went to PE, nothing. And then we went to math class. And as I was chilling in math class, calculating the square root of pi and shit, I get a tap on my shoulder again. "Psst, Tessa wants her vape back."
Vape? What vape?
The one I handed you this morning, you know, it was purple.
Oh, that vape. Oh,
yeah, no, I threw that shit in the bushes. So she reports back to the person who gave her the vape, and she reports back to the person who gave her the vape, etc., etc., until Tessa finds out, and she looks pissed. So she whispers to her friend, who whispers to her friend, etc., etc.,
What bush did you throw it in?
Oh, the one out back. And to put it in perspective, the bush out back was fucking massive. It was this huge conglomerate of straight prickle bushes, and so pretty much, her vape was gone, bro. And I went to sleep that night with a smile on my face, knowing I not only saved Tessa's lungs, but also Billy's heart. The next day, I went to class, sat down with the boys as always, but something was different. Tessa and her homies were nowhere to be seen. I shrug it off and continue to make some groundbreaking studies in science class until I hear Billy like,
"Bro, no fucking way."
So I turn around to not only see Tessa and her friends waist high in prickle bushes looking for this vape, but I also see Mr. Principal forcing them to do it. Now this was truly a beautiful sight to see revenge play out this perfectly. Like, Billy was sitting at the window the entire class watching him do a whole search party for this vape that was posted in my pocket. And just when I thought Billy couldn't get happier, the next day, Tessa and her friends had to present a PowerPoint to the entire school on why vaping is bad. Vaping is bad because, when the vape enters your lungs, it's not good for your lungs. Man, karma is real, because not only did Tessa understand how it felt to be laughed at, but the next day, my friend came up to me like, "Can I use that vape for the day?" And I wasn't using that shit, so I said,
"Yeah, sure."
And at the end of the day, you'll never guess what she told me, bro.
"Yo, you still got the vape?"
No, I threw it in the bush out back.
Listen, most of us have been high before, and most of us have also been drunk before, but it truly takes one determined, perseverant, curious, and brave dumbass to be high and drunk at the same time. Which perfectly describes your boy way, way, way back in grade 7. See, this story is crazy because I had never been high or drunk before this incident. And all at once, I turned from just a young, innocent boy into the low IQ human I am today. So, it was grade 7 and my school had just got out for spring break. The boys and I had already planned out a little get-together for one of our friend's birthdays. So after school, me and the boys link up. We go and clean up our friend Billy's house, because you can't throw a birthday function in a dirty house. And it was dirty, bro. So by the time we were done cleaning, it was already about 7:30. So that meant everyone started to show up. So the boys and I started doing your average middle school activities. By that, I mean we're wrestling, we're breaking stuff, and the girls were just posted on the couch. Because, what are we supposed to do? Talk to them? Hell nah. But eventually we got tired of throwing each other around, so we're all sweaty and shit, and we sit down on the couch, leaving at least 1.5 meters between us and the girls, of course, and we just sat there. But then out of nowhere, Billy's like, I got a brownie. And I'm over here thinking, the fuck? The hoes don't care about your brownie, bruh. But then Billy started to elaborate. Guys, this is no ordinary brownie. I stole it from my uncle's do not eat cabinet. And he says they're magical. Oh, he probably means they're magically tasty. I need a bite of that. Does anyone want a piece?
Yeah, I'll try one.
Yeah, sure, I want some.
I mean, I am kind of hungry.
Please. So everyone has their piece, and they're kind of building up the suspense, like, are you guys ready?
Are you sure we should do this?
And I'm still clueless. I'm over here thinking, it's a brownie. What's the big deal? The fuck? This brownie isn't magical. This shit tastes like ass. Oh, Chains, how do you feel? I feel like I just ate some dog shit, bruh. I'm gonna keep it a stack. Your uncle needs a new baker for real.
No, Chains, it's not about the taste. They're grass-infused brownies. They're supposed to get you high.
Man, what? I feel like this is the kind of thing you're supposed to say before I downed it. So everyone eats their piece of brownie, and then continues to sit in awkward silence for like the next 2 hours. But then the brownie starts to hit. People are dropping like flies. And eventually, everyone felt it except me. And they're just doing high stuff, like eating all the food in the kitchen, watching Netflix documentaries. But for me, the brownie still hasn't hit. And Billy notices that I'm sober, and he's like, wait here. Bro goes into his mom's liquor cupboard and pours out unholy amounts of vodka and just hands me the cup. Keep in mind, I had never drank before, so I have no clue whether or not this is a lot. So I literally chugged the whole thing. Looking back, it had to have been at least 5 shots all at once. But man, I had no clue. So I'm just sitting there chilling on the couch, waiting for something magical to happen. And I start to think, maybe I'm just invincible. Like nothing can affect me. It all hit at once. The brownie and the vodka was out here running combos on me like John Cena and Randy Orton. And bro, something in that brownie changed my settings and enabled third-person perspective. It was the weirdest feeling. It was like I was watching myself on a movie, but like I was in the movie. Bro, I don't know. And apparently it also gave me the ability to teleport. Because I swear, when I blinked, I teleported from Billy's crib to the front of a McDonald's line. And listen, I have no clue what happened in between that time, but I had no business being in a public setting right now. Hi, what can I get for you? Sir, can I help you? Yeah. What can I get for you? Listen, because I was high, drunk, and apparently had no social capabilities, I was spitting some nonsense to this poor McDonald's employee.
Yeah, do y'all got the Popeye's chicken sandwich?
Sir, this is McDonald's.
Yeah, yeah, and let me get that Dairy Queen Blizzard.
Dairy Queen, what?
And, what kind of nachos do you guys have?
I blinked again, and we were all back at Billy's house. The very last thing I remember from that night is there was absolutely no blankets. So I was out here using literally anything I could find for a little bit of warmth. But eventually, after a long night, I passed out.
There's a lot of things in life that I don't really understand, but if there's one thing I can truly comprehend, it's being grounded. Because in my time, I've served a total of 547 days and 16 hours in the slammer. And through a year and a half of extensive first-hand research, I've come to the professional conclusion that getting grounded is straight ass, bro. You're locked in your room with no phone, no computer. Like, what do you want me to do? Think about my actions? Hell nah. Being grounded had a young me doing the stupidest shit ever, bro. Like, I was popping handstands, hitting my head against the wall, playing with the door stopper thingy. Shit, I got so bored, I even read a few pages of a book like an absolute nerd. And now that I think about it, Percy Jackson and the Battle of the Labyrinth was actually a spectacular read. Now listen, there's only one thing worse than being grounded, and that's being falsely imprisoned for life. Well, now that I think about it, there's a lot of things worse than being grounded, but one of which is being grounded during summer, bro. There's something about being able to hear all the happy children, the ice cream trucks, your homies having fun, the hoes throwing rocks at your window, asking you to come outside. Well, you just cry yourself to sleep, because there never was any hoes throwing rocks at your window asking you to come outside. It's just you, your Percy Jackson books, some used toilet paper, and the existential thoughts in your head, questioning if it's even worth it. And listen, I'm sure everyone can pick up on the fact that I'm a really intelligent dude. Smart all around, really, but trust me when I say, I wasn't always this smart, bro. In fact, in kindergarten, my dumbass fully believed with my whole heart that being grounded meant your parents would just dig a decent-sized hole in your backyard, toss you in, and bury you alive for the time being. And so I'm sure you could imagine my surprise when my OG friend of 5 days said, yeah, I got grounded for 2 whole weeks. Holy fucking shitballs, dude, are you okay? No, man, it's really hard. I didn't get to touch any my toys or anything. Damn, how long ago was that, man? Oh, I'm still grounded. What? No, you're not. Yeah, dude, I'm grounded right now. No, the fuck you're not. And I wouldn't truly find out what being grounded was until 7 years later. I was in grade 7. It was a beautiful, sunny summer day at approximately 11 a.m. And me and the boys were freely roaming our city. Little did I know, we wouldn't be free for long. And as the boys and I roamed the city looking for a move, one of Bob's girls calls him up and is like, okay, so my friend Becky is in Hawaii for a few days with her family, and she said I could bring you over. And just like that, Bob could have wrapped it up and claimed some cheeks. But the boy Bob was never one to leave the homies behind. So not only did he convince his girl to let us come, but he went above and beyond. He got his girl to bring some of her friends over too. And now we're hyped because we had now located the move, and quite a marvelous move, if I do say so myself. Now, keep in mind, all of us knew Becky and had been to Becky's house many times before, but Becky was all the way in Hawaii, so she had no clue about the marvelous move about to take place at her own crib. But regardless, me and the homies walk into Becky's crib, and they low-key got a little get-together in the works. I see Bob's girl, I see Bob's girl's friends, and then I see a mutual friend of mine named Dennis. And he brought his girl. Now, a little backstory about Dennis. Dennis was 2 years older than me, making him in high school. And to be fair, from grade 7 to high school is a colossal difference. Dennis was taller, had a more developed frame, and Dennis even had some facial hair in progress. The amount of facial hair that put my peach fuzz to shame. And to put it quite simply, Dennis was a menace. But regardless, that's my homie's homie, so I walk up and dap him up. And then everyone heads over to Becky's room. Now keep in mind, Becky had simply invited Bob and Bob's girl to come over, and somehow we ended up being 8 people deep in that joint. And so that means technically, the other 6 of us were straight trespassing. So we were all chilling in Becky's room, chopping it up for a good hour and a half, until eventually, people start exploring her house. Now in Becky's room, it was just me, Bob, Bob's girl, and Bob's girl's friend named Lily. And so we're all just talking until I hear someone yell from the room down the hall.
Yo, Chains, get in here right now!
And I don't know exactly what I was expecting to see as I walked into that bathroom, but it was absolutely not seeing Dennis drop a condom filled with water on Billy's head. And of course I laughed, because that's comedy gold right there, but it also made me realize, maybe we shouldn't be here dropping condoms on each other's heads. But who was I to tell Dennis what to do? He had facial hair, so
so he was practically a grown man to my standards. So I just turned around, went back to the room, and continued chilling with Bob. And as we talked, the music progressively got louder, and Dennis progressively became more of a menace. And it had got to the point where the speakers were booming, and Dennis was lobbing condom water balloons off Becky's balcony. And then one time, Dennis either almost hit or just missed Becky's neighbor with one of these condom water balloons. So this grown man looks down at a condom that seems to have fell from the heavens, then he looks up and sees Dennis scrambling inside the Becky's crib with the speakers blasting music, and then he continued on his way. And we were all just having a fantastic time in Becky's room until we hear the downstairs door swing open, and we all absolutely shit our pants and run onto the balcony.
Hey! I just texted the family who lives here, and they said no one is supposed to be in the house. Everyone needs to leave right now, or I'm calling the cops.
And that's exactly what we did. No messing around, we were out that hoe. And we all went to Bob's girl's house for an emergency meeting, because we were all scared as fuck. And now Bob's girl and Becky are texting, and Becky's like, my parents are pissed, they want to talk to everyone's parents, and they know how many people were there. So we all devised a foolproof plan. Okay, we give Becky our phone numbers, tell it's our parents' phone numbers, and we act super disappointed in our children. We all agreed on this plan, and the emergency meeting was dismissed. And over the next few days, we all got texts from a very unhappy Becky's father, who made sure to specify the amount of condoms that were found in the bathtub. We all respond with some bullshit along the lines of,
hello, Mr. Beckerson. I'm very sorry to hear about the inconsiderate acts of Chains and how he's invaded your home. Rest assured, Chains will feel the wrath of this thick leather belt as it repeatedly beats against his cheeks to discipline him for his heinous actions. Thank you for bringing this to my attention.
But come to find out, Lily's dumbass responded with some shit like, Dear Mr. Beckerson, thank you for letting me know, but Lily did nothing wrong, as she didn't know she wasn't allowed there. Plus, she didn't even make a mess or anything, on God. Put some respect on my daughter's name. Period. And just like that, our foolproof plan got fucked. And Becky's father texted each of us saying,
You are coming to the house at 3:15 p.m. today, or I'm calling the cops.
And shit, looking back, Becky's father was most definitely bluffing. Like, say I didn't go, what was he gonna tell the cops?
911, what's your emergency?
Hey, there was 8 kids who invaded my home 3 days ago.
Okay, sir, did they break in?
No, No. My daughter gave them the key.
Sir, why the fuck are you calling 911?
There was condoms in the bathtub!
But like I said, I wasn't very smart, and I didn't have the brain capacity to think that far ahead. So everyone shows up to the house, and Becky's father sits us down and makes each of us individually call our parents and explain what we had done. And I went first. Hey, Mom, I went to Becky's house the other day, but she was in Hawaii, and I wasn't really invited.
There was condoms in the bathtub!
Needless to say, we all got our shit whooped, and I received my very first grounding with a sentence of 1 month in the slammer.
Listen, I know some of y'all have already gone to school high, but for those of you who haven't, don't do it, bro. I only went to school baked one time in my life, and after that experience, I never did it again. So, this story takes place on your average Wednesday. I was still in grade 10 at this point, but I have to note, I was not a super experienced smoker. However, with that being said, I did have some homies in grade 11 that, let's just say, they knew what they were doing. But still, my day started off like your average high schooler. Alarm goes off, hit snooze for 15 minutes, get up, stare at the wall for approximately 10 minutes, shower, eat, and head to school. This particular day, I remember being a little bit anxious because I knew I had to present my speech that I had just written the night before. But English is at the end of the day, I'm chilling for now. Plus, my first class is PE, so you know how it goes. I smoked some kids in dodgeball. I went to my next class, got smoked in math. The bell rings and I dip for lunch.
Guys,
yo, boys. Peace out, man.
I do.
So I link up with the gang for lunch, and we kind of mob around the school for a minute, but we end up just chilling in this forest right outside our school. And this is when one of my experienced friends whips out that Zaza. We'll just call him Jimmy for now. Jimmy just asked everyone, are you dudes trying to smoke?
Yeah, for sure.
Hell, yup. Nah, I'm all good. At first, I was the only person who didn't want to, but as I sat there, feeling the vibes, intaking the positive energy from the surrounding vegetation, I came to the conclusion the vibes were right. It was just me and my trusted homies, secluded in a peaceful area. I mean, what's the worst that could happen, right? And man, when it comes to drinking, I'm a certified heavyweight champion. But for whatever reason, when it came to smoking, I had the tolerance of a newborn baby. But then again, what would I look like taking this little ass inhale? So I did what any dumbass individual would do. Yo, look at Shane.
Chill, dude.
Damn. So my friends are low-key hyping me up. And I'm out here thinking, I am such a cool guy. I am literally that guy. I'm literally that guy. But much like everything else, everyone forgot about it in 5 minutes. But I'm still left with all this tetrahydrocannabinol compounds waiting to alter my neural chemistry. So as we're walking back to the school, the THC raids my brain like the FBI. And I just eat the ground, bro. Had me looking like my controller just disconnected. My friends just look at each other like, fuck. Maybe you should just go home, bro. Yeah, dude. There's no way you'll be able to go to class like this. So we make our way over to this bench outside, and I'm weighing out my options. I'm trying to find the best scenario to get out of this alive. I narrowed it down to roughly 2 options. I can either go home, get whooped by my mom, and get grounded for another year and a half, or I could thug it out, just go to class, running the risk that my teacher might find out I'm baked. So me and my friends are brainstorming, using the good old pros and cons method. Going home. Pros. Cons. I will get whooped. Staying at school. Pros. Cons. I might get whooped. Staying at school it is. The bell rings, my friends wish me good luck, but my next class was science, and I had the number one homie in that class. Bob. So Bob is just being a W mans. He's absolutely carrying me in this group science experiment while I'm literally passed out sleeping on the desk. Bell rings, Bob wishes me good luck, and dips. Now I'm all on my own, but I just got one more class. I'm almost done. What class do I even have again? Oh yeah, English, right? So I make my way to English. I sit down. Alright, so today we're doing our speeches.
Speeches?
And my English teacher was the type of teacher who loves to catch people lacking and just put them on the spot. So, of course, he sees me on another planet and decides to call me out.
Chains, how about you go first?
I'm not prepared. Just get up there, bud.
Okay.
Alright, whenever you're ready. Chains, you can start now.
Okay.
So my speech, it's about... The topic of the speech, it's dinosaurs. So, Tyrannosaurus Rex has short arms. Yeah, it changed. Don't worry about it. You can sit down. You can just go tomorrow. It's all right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, man, this is why you don't show up to school high, bro.
Wake up.
Hey, man.
What? Who are you?
Dreams. We all have them whether you remember them or not. And at one point in our lives, we've all dreamt about the same shit, bro. Like your teeth falling out or running through your school butt booty naked or being reincarnated as a chicken laying eggs. But when you really step back and think about what sleeping is, it's mad weird, bro. Like, imagine an alien crash landed on Earth and saw a bunch of motherfuckers sleeping, like...
Yo, why is everyone dead?
Oh, no, they're not dead, they're just sleeping.
Man, what the fuck is sleeping?
Yeah, so basically they just play dead for 8 hours and live false realities in their heads and shit.
Strange.
Yeah, like, you see this guy, he's probably dreaming about sunshine and rainbows. You see this dude? He's having a nightmare for sure. Oh, and this dude? Yo, this dude's definitely fucking, bro. I'm a
caterpillar. Damn, that's crazy.
Now, we all know there's only 3 questions in life that have yet to be answered. What's the meaning of life? What's Obama's last name? And why do we dream? Dude, it's all your subconscious talking to you, man. You just gotta find the true meaning of each dream, dude.
Bro, what the actual fuck could this possibly mean, bruh?
You're autistic.
Anyways, the craziest part about dreams is the fact you're the one telling the story, and you're the one listening to that shit. My dumbass still falls for the plot twist every time, bruh. I'll never forget this one dream I had back in grade 6, where me and my two homies were walking. Don't know where, don't know why, but as we're walking, a dude in a big white van pulls up talking about,
"Hey, if you kids come in my van, I'll give you some candy."
Shit. I mean, I'd come in your mouth for the whole bang. So obviously, we hop in, and the driver looks absolutely cracked out, talking about,
"Hey kids, eat this candy."
And so we unwrap this piece of candy, and it's literally just a razor blade, bro. Like, he didn't even try and hide that shit.
Nah, I think I'll have to pass on this one.
Alright, then eat this piece of candy.
This is a perk 30. You got any Reese's cups?
I got Reese's cups. Here.
Sir, this is just a Glock covered in peanut butter.
Alright, fine, take this.
Shit, okay.
So we eat this unsuspicious looking candy and instantly start tripping balls, bruh. Like, the van is deforming, we're seeing rainbows and shit, and worst of all, we see this big ass grin on the driver's face. And I don't remember exactly what he said, but he said some crazy shit like,
"Get ready, I'm coming for them cheese."
It was more like
"Looks like your private square just went public."
Okay, no, that wasn't it either. It was something more like,
"You boys ever had your bun stuffed like a meat mound from Arby's?"
Okay, I can't remember exactly what he said, but all I know is if we didn't act fast, we were getting our cheeks snatched up, bro. So Billy's like, "Yo, quick, call your dad." So I'm rushing to start calling my dad, and this is the most dream logic shit ever, because... I don't even got a dad, bruh. And this is where my own brain hit me with the meanest plot twist I never saw coming. Because as I'm calling my dad, the driver's phone starts ringing, bruh.
Bomba Club.
Now, I don't remember the rest, but the fact my own brain hit me with some Star Wars, Darth Vader type plot twist, god damn, bruh, that shit was a movie. But still, I probably got my shit touched, so I'm gonna have to leave this as a B-tier dream, bro. B-tier? What the fuck could possibly be worse than a crackhead tickling your pickle, bro? Now, those motherfuckers could be their own torture method, bro. These are dreams that just have you stuck in an infinite time loop doing the same shit over and over and over and over in C-tier, bro. Now, lucid dreams. Lucid dreams are deadass just playing life on creative mode, bro. Because in my long life, I've only had 3 lucid dreams, and every single one of them was lit as fuck, bruh. Now, the problem is I can only start lucid dreaming when my original dream is just a little too strange. Like, "Hey, you're cute. Can I get your number?"
"What? You want my number?"
"Yeah."
I must be lucid dreaming.
Fuck. It's so real, bro. I can do anything. I can probably fucking fly.
Alright, Chains, this is not a dream. You're under arrest for battery and assault.
But for real, my first lucid dream started when I was posted up in a basement with Michael Jackson.
Aren't you supposed to be, like, dead and shit?
Oh shit, I must be dreaming. And so to test the waters, I start spawning in random shit on the spot, and this is the moment I realized the possibilities were endless, bruh. I could do whatever I wanted, and so I spawned in a honey pack, and I spawned in Lola Bunny, and I...
S-tier. Lucid dreams are S-tier, bruh.
Wet dreams are too. Now, we got a few popular reoccurring dreams on our hands, like running through your school butt booty naked. Now, back in the day, this dream used to have me scared shitless, bro. I was like, "Oh shit, where's my pants? Yo, what's my crush gonna think? What are the boys gonna say?"
But ever since graduating high school,
that dream has me scared even more shitless, bro, because now it's like, "Oh shit, yo, what's the police gonna think?
Let's find your back!
Bro, what's the judge gonna say, bro?
Shut the fuck up!"
Fucking C-tier. Teeth falling out, B-tier. Random adventures with your homies, A-tier, bro. Bebop and Billy have fought bears together, we've been to the Nether, we've even fucked around and ran a 3-man on the Totally Spies cast. Like, these dreams are so lit that when I wake up in my raggedy old lonely ass bed, I'd be trying to go back to sleep to continue the plot, bruh.
Look who came back for that meat mountain, boy.
Hell no.
You better run,
bruh.
I'm trying.
Now, trying to run in your dreams. Man, this shit really pisses me off, bro. Because I never told anybody this, but I was the fastest kid in my elementary school. So when I'm dreaming and I got two hordes of zombies, Michael Myers and fucking Diddy himself chasing after me, tell me why my ass starts running like the fastest kid in the special needs class, bro.
So trying to run in your dreams has got to be C tier, right next to all the common shit like falling, drowning, losing your phone, explosive diarrhea all over your bed.
Damn, bro. Shitting your pants, fever dreams, and being butt booty naked around a bunch of minors is C tier. What the hell is D tier, bro?
Sleep around.
This might be the scariest thing that can possibly exist, bruh.
You're telling me at 4 a.m. I could open my eyes, unable to move, while struggling to breathe, and start seeing demon shadow figures while hearing screams in the distance, bruh.
Fucking Z tier, bro. What the fuck?
Now I'm grateful I never had to experience that shit, because the fact that while you're paralyzed, you'll start to see the scariest thing your brain could possibly imagine is beyond me, bro.
Knowing me, I'd be there enjoying my beauty sleep, dreaming of me and the boys playing fucking Mario Kart or some shit, and I would open my eyes stunned, unable to move, when slowly a devious creature begins revealing itself out of the closet, casting a shadow over top of me until I can see exactly what it is.
Looks like someone ordered a meat melon!
It was a snowy Christmas Eve. My brother and I were watching a Christmas movie bundled up beside the fireplace while drinking a cup of hot cocoa. Man, it can't get any better than this. Or can it? What could possibly enhance these festive activities to their maximum potential? Or should I say, who can? So I called up the plug Randall and I'm like, yo, Randall. Yo, what's up, cuh? Let me get some of that Christmas tree OG.
Oh, shit.
Let me get some of that Mean Green Grinch.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Some of that Rudolph Red Eyes. You know what I'm saying?
But the thing is, I can't deliver right now, cuh.
Why not?
Well, you see, cuh, me and the family are setting up milk and cookies for Santa Claus, cuh.
Aw, shit, Randall. I didn't know you were a family man like that.
Cuh, you already know it's Christmas Eve and shit, but if you really need some of that Mean Green Grinch, come by the crib and pick it up.
Say less. Randall sent his address and it was only a 15-minute drive. So we walk outside to go hop in the whip and I'm like, what? Where the fuck did the whip go?
It should be right here.
Oh, fuck. I mean, the entirety of the whip had been covered in snow. I mean, in these conditions, not only would it be impossible to drive, but many would say it wouldn't even be possible to walk to Randall's crib. However, on this specific Christmas Eve, there was nothing that was gonna get between us and that Christmas tree OG. So we throw on our snow attire and take our first step off the porch. And god damn, that shit was deeper than I thought. As we started our journey to Randall's house in waist-high snow, I was filled with determination. The type of determination that just dipped after 5 minutes of wet socks, possible hypothermia, and no end in sight. Bro, should we just head back now? I mean, we still got like 30 more minutes to go to Randall's house. I don't think I could do it, bro. Chains. Just picture this. Mariah Carey is playing in the background. Your nose is filled with the sweet scent of freshly baked cookies while we get baked as fuck and drink as much eggnog as we want. Shit, you're right. We can't stop now. So we walked and walked in what seemed to be like endless amounts of snow. But then a brightness slowly revealed itself through the snowfall. A beautifully decorated house with reindeer on the roof and Santa Claus in the chimney. We had made it. We made it to the boy Randall's crib. Randall invites us inside and out of the Christmas spirit, the homie Randall sessions us up for the freesky. And at last, I got a taste of that Rudolph Red Eyes Kush, and in that moment, it was all worth it. So me, Randall, and my brother smoke up for a while, but then my brother realizes, Oh, shit. It's already 11 p.m. We gotta make it back for Christmas. Damn, you're right.
Wait. Before you just go cut, take some for the road.
No, man.
So we begin our journey back home, except this time something was different. We were zooted as fuck. And if you've ever been in the cold while being more baked than some gingerbread, you would know that shit is ass. And as my brother and I walked through the snowfall continued to get worse and worse. And after 30 minutes of walking back home while being higher than Santa's sleigh, my legs just folded, bro. Oh shit, Chains, are you good?
Bro, it's too far. You're gonna have to make it back without me.
Bro, shut up. You're fine. You're just high as fuck.
Oh, Ni-chan.
Bro, get your bitch
ass
up.
Let me go. You need to make it back before Christmas starts.
Just get up, bro. Stop playing around. Oh, my fucking God. And then I fucking died. Maybe that mean green Grinch was gonna be what stole my Christmas after all. Man, you're not fucking dead. Until my brother decks my ass harder than the boughs of holly. Bro quite literally slapped me back to reality. And that was all I needed to keep going. But we only had 5 minutes to make it back to the house before Christmas. So we use everything we have left. We see the red and green glowing lights in the distance getting closer and closer and... And by a Christmas miracle, at last we could sit down on the couch, bundled up next to the fireplace, watching a holiday movie, drinking some hot cocoa, all while zooted off that Christmas tree OG.
So, there are 7 stages of being drunk, all of which I've experienced, so you don't have to.
Drinking? Aren't you underage?
No, I'm 21. Now let's start with stage 1, the process. Stage 1 is one of the most important stages of being drunk. If you've ever heard the saying, trust the process, this fully applies when it comes to drinking. If you don't approach this stage with precision, calculation, and patience, you might accidentally skip straight to stage 7. And trust me, you don't want to skip straight to stage 7. The process is pretty much where you've started drinking, but you don't really feel anything yet. Because when you drink alcohol, it takes time for it to be absorbed into the bloodstream. And some people just don't have the patience to wait and end up overestimating their limit.
I feel fine. Let me take another shot.
Stage 2 is tipsy. Tipsy is where you first start to feel it. It's when the first few shots start to hit and you start to feel a little bit more outgoing and maybe more talkative. At this point, you'll still have your judgment, but I feel like you become a little bit more of a glasses half full kind of person. Walking in a straight line is still easy. Boom, light work. Once the next few shots start to roll in, you'll hit stage 3. Intoxicated. Once you're intoxicated, some of the dizziness starts to set in. You also start to think less about the words you say. And I'm not gonna lie, at this point, I feel like your confidence peaks. Like when you're at a party and you look in the mirror and see Michael B. Jordan, you know you're at the level of intoxication, bro. And to be honest, for parties, I like to chill at this stage because you've got your confidence, but you still haven't lost your riz. And for reference, at this point, you can still walk in a straight line, but it takes a little bit more focus and effort. Which brings me to stage 4, hammered. This is where you start slurring your words. And bro, at this point, walking in a straight line becomes an impossible task. Yo, dude, can you walk this line really quick?
Yes. No.
When you're hammered, you start thinking a lot less. You start saying things before you can even think them. And it's important to say, when you're hammered, your judgment cannot be trusted. All ideas become good ideas.
Yo, dude, what if we set an orphanage on fire?
Bro, that's genius.
That's what I'm saying.
What are you guys doing?
Nothing. I don't think that was a good idea, bro. Facts. Stage 5 is stupefied. At this stage, you'll have the brain power of a toaster. And honestly, walking in a straight line isn't even a question anymore. Yo, dude, can you walk this... Once you're stupefied, you're just too far gone. You feel like your head is just spinning over and over. Now, at this stage, I would recommend leaving whatever party or setting you're at because you can't function properly. probably end up regretting some of the shit you say or do the next morning. Now, stage 6. Wasted. When you get wasted, it's just regret. Your body is literally fighting for survival. Everything is miserable, and you always promise yourself you'll never get to this stage again. But one way or another, it always comes back. Whenever you're at a party, there's always one person who's wasted, and they're hunched over at the toilet just vomiting, bro. And it just ruins the night completely, so this might be obvious, but I do not recommend getting wasted. Now, to get to stage 7, you have to do one of three things. First off, you could have not trusted the process at stage 1 and heavily overestimated your limit. Or, you could have been hammered and your judgment was tainted, so you had the idea to take more shots. Remember, all ideas become good ideas. And lastly, you could be going through a serious divorce. And in this case, I'm sorry. I hope she comes back. But stage 7 is blacked out. When you are blacked out, you've lost your consciousness. You're pretty much just slumped out. But your dreams when you're blackout drunk are always the most random and vivid shit, bro. And once you wake up, yo, dude, can you walk this line really quick? So, I think it's safe to say that I would strongly not recommend going past stage 4. But I'm not gonna lie, I have a few times, and I got lots of crazy stories from them too. So let me know in the comments if you want to hear any of these stories. But yeah, I think I should end the video by saying, please drink responsibly.
Yo, when you think about it, every light switch is also a dark switch. Light switch, dark switch. Light switch, dark switch. Okay, class, sound it out with me.
Ball.
When you really think about it, we learn to read, and then we read to learn.
Teacher, yeah, I think change is high.
What the fuck? This is kindergarten. Damn. Any staircase can be a staircase to heaven if you're not careful enough. Baby, I've spent the best 4 years of my life with you, and I can't imagine my life without you. You're a one in a million, so will you marry me? So one in a million, huh? That means there's 8,017 people just like you. How does that make you feel? Yo, if you cut your leg off, would it hurt? Of course it's gonna hurt, bro. What? Think about it. Where would it hurt? Your leg. Oh, because you cut your leg off. Yo, what happens if you push down the gas and the brakes at the same time? Shit, let's find out. Oh, shit. It takes a screenshot. Damn, my eyes are dry as shit. Just close them for a minute. Damn, bro. You never actually close your eyes. You just look at the inside of your eyelids. Damn.
Yo. Can anyone answer 547 to the power of 3? Yes, Chains.
Yo, did you know every single odd number has an E in it?
Damn. No. Chains, are you high again? No.
Wait a minute, bruh. Since you were born deaf, what language do you think in? Oh, shit, you right. Damn, I just realized squirrels' cheeks are also their nut sacks. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of like your mom. What?
The way she had these nuts all up in her mouth.
Bro, if everyone in the world all blinked at the same time, nobody would know. Oh, shit. That's facts.
Oh, I just blinked. Did you?
Nah.
Oh, I just blinked. Did you?
Nah.
Wait, what about just now?
Yo, which of these buildings do you think has the most stories? Oh, it's gotta be that one, bro. That's massive. Nah, this one's even taller.
Oh, it's this one for sure.
No, it's this one.
No, that's a library? Tiny.
Think about it.
Oh!
How are you supposed to get clothes? What are you talking about, bruh? Okay, imagine you had no clothes, right? How are you supposed to get some clothes? You go to the store and purchase that shit. Bro, they're not about to let you buy some clothes while your meat's hanging out. Nah, you just cop some clothes real fast. It's simple. Bruh, a young kid walks by and it's wrapped. So you guys both have the power to read minds?
Yep,
yes,
that's
sir.
Right.
Then if you both read each other's minds, whose mind are you reading?
Oh, I don't know. We could try.
All right, yeah, sure.
That was you for sure, dude.
Damn, bro. When you think about it, the hospital is the only building you leave without entering. Damn. And people are having the worst day of their life, the best day of their life, the last day of their life, and the first day of their life, all in one building.
Damn.
Bro, I'm kind of scared down here.
What? Why?
Because I'm scared a shark's finna eat my ass.
Well, when you think about it, there's more people eating sharks in the world than sharks eating people.
Damn. That's actually really crazy to think about.
Fuck, yo, every single day, there's some random motherfucker out there who took the biggest shit for that day.
Yeah, he's in this room.
Bro, it's literally just you and me in the room.
Yo, this Taco Bell is busted.
So he incorrectly assumed his position.
You spelled that incorrectly.
Spelled what incorrectly?
Incorrectly.
Yeah, but what's incorrect?
Incorrectly.
Wait, what?
Wait, guys. When you really think about it, the only time incorrectly isn't spelled incorrectly is when it's spelled incorrectly.
Shut the hell up.
Yeah, shut the fuck up. You know, the number of people older than you never increases. It only gets smaller and smaller.
Damn.
What? It just got smaller.
Yo, pizza's here.
Shit, I got the munchies. I'm about to fuck this shit up.
Wait, I ordered a mushroom pizza. Why'd they give us cheese?
Hey, any pizza can be a mushroom pizza if you're patient enough.
Damn, I guess you're right.
At last. Damn, you know what I just realized?
What?
A pregnant woman swimming is pretty much a submarine.
Are you just always this high, bruh?
Yo, did you boys know your last name comes from what your ancestor used to do back in the day?
Oh shit, mine's Baker.
Yo, mine's Carpenter.
Oh, mine's Smith for blacksmith.
Well, what's yours, Johnny?
It's Donald.
Well, wait a minute. Your last name isn't Donald. It's
hey,
Dickinson.
No.
Guys, chill. Hey, I can explain. I can explain. Your alarm is really your theme song because it plays at the start of every episode.
Why the fuck are you in my house?
Yo, is Chain still mad over that chair?
Yeah, well, what does this dude have against chairs?
Why is it a chair?
Yo, why is there sidewalks in the movie Cars if there's no humans?
This dude won't shut up. Like, just watch the fucking movie, bro.
Damn, think about this. When a child is an asshole, the child gets a whooping. But when the parents are an asshole, the child gets another whooping.
Shit, tell me about it, bro.
Fuck.
Bro, you've checked the fridge 15 times already. No good food's finna magically appear.
Damn. Now that I think about it, we don't keep checking the fridge for new food, but rather we keep checking to see if our standards have dropped low enough to eat the shit that's already in the fridge.
So we got Mercury, Venus, and then here's Earth.
Yeah, Chains. What do you want?
If Earth is the third planet from the sun, does that make every country a third world country?
You're high again. Just get the fuck out of my class.
And look at these sheep.
Sheep.
You know how one of your teeth is called a tooth?
Yeah.
And one geese is called a goose.
Okay.
Then why isn't one sheep called a shoop?
All right, Chains, I can't keep doing
Shoopity
this.
Doop.
We have to break
sheep
up.
Soup.
You know what I've been thinking?
Yeah, what's up?
Teenagers be whipping that shit like they're always running out of time. But old motherfuckers be driving like they got all the time in the world.
Like, look at this geezer. Poor guy's practically decaying behind the wheel. But he's taking his time like he's got any time to spare. If I stab this cereal box, does that make me a serial killer? That one was straight ass. You gotta work on that.
Right, I'm gonna work on that one.
Yo, if you weigh 99 pounds and you eat a 1 pound burrito, does that make you 1% burrito?
Yo, that's crazy, because I literally just did that last night.
You guys wouldn't believe this, but your blood work came back, and it says you're 1% burrito.
Yo,
picture this. Imagine if Ed Sheeran was working at a bread place, right? Would that make him the gingerbread man?
Your eyes, shit.
Alright, bro, I'm a dip.
Nah, don't leave me alone in this forest, bro.
Hey, when you really think about it, you're not scared to be alone in this forest. You're scared you're not alone in the forest. You feel me?
Yo, that's actually so true.
Bro, you know what? Low key, if you're dead broke, robbing a bank isn't even a bad idea. Bro, there's no way some hobo's about to pull off a bank heist. Nah, but just think about it. Whether you successfully rob the bank or not, either way, you get over 10 years of bills you don't gotta worry about.
Alright, fuck it. You got the strap?
Yup.
Yo, throw on your seatbelt really quick.
Nah.
What? Why not?
Well, you see, it increases my risk of dying from cancer. What are you talking about, bro? That shit makes no sense. Just let that sink in.
Oh, yeah, I got you.
Yo, what's up?
But still, that shit makes no sense.
No, but actually think about it.
Oh.
Hey, bro, you want to hit?
Nah, I don't smoke. I'm scared that I'll get all paranoid and shit.
Hey, man, if you're paranoid that you're gonna get paranoid, you're having the side effect without even smoking.
It's going to be.
Everyone experiences being drunk differently, and it can change from time to time as well. But I'd say most people fall into a few general categories. One of which is the aggressive drinker. These people have to have pent up and saved anger for years, and just decide to let it all loose when they take a sip of alcohol. I feel like they might even just be using drinking as an excuse to sock someone in the face. And the main problem with aggressive drinkers is there's always at least one of them at every function. Sometimes they can be tamed, but if you just let them do their thing, then the function just turns into the Battle of Vimy Ridge, bro. You don't want your friends to be aggressive drinkers, because when they do something stupid, you just have no choice but to back them up, because that's your homie. Coming up next, we have the depressed drinker. I know lots of people who are usually happy and energetic, but when they start drinking, all of a sudden they think I'm their therapist or something. Like, of course I want to help my boy if he's in his feels, but I'm hammered too, bro. I can't help you get your ex back. Now listen, I'm no scientist. But alcohol is a depressant, which means, it makes you depressed. Bro, I don't, pretty much what I'm trying to say is, if alcohol makes you sad sometimes, don't worry, it's normal. Next up, we have the flirty drinker. Now, these types of people are a common appearance at parties. They just kind of go stumble over to someone and start spit game. One thing I do respect about flirty drinkers is that they're perseverant, bro. When they get rejected by someone, they just take it like a champ and keep pushing to the next one. Usually, flirty drinkers go rotate around the party and try for their first few contenders, but eventually, at the end of the night, flirty drinkers will end up attracting other flirty drinkers, then boom, everyone's happy. And come on, everyone knows the I love you guy. Man, I love you, man. Nah, like, I don't think you understand. Like, I really love you, man. And whatever you need, I got you, bro. And I just really love you, man.
Bro, who the fuck are you?
And of course, we got the designated driver. Next, we got the loud one. Hey, bro, sometimes the alcohol just makes people talk way too loud. In some settings, it'll slide. But in other settings... At parties, these are usually the type of people to be in the mosh pits, because they're always super high energy, and sometimes they can be kind of annoying. Man, who would be this type of drunk, am I right? Alright, it's me. And if anyone else is this type of drinker, I know you can relate. When you wake up the next morning, not only you get hit with the hangover, but your voice is just completely gone. and I'm not even usually a loud person. But man, alcohol just works its magic and has me yelling like Kai Cenat. Hangovers being this type of drinker has to be one of the worst. I guess next to aggressive drinkers, you know what I'm saying? Anyways, we're moving on. You also might have encountered the philosopher. I couldn't tell you why, but for whatever reason, after taking 5 shots, some motherfuckers just become a philosopher, bro. They just have philosophical questions coming out of nowhere. And they low-key be spitting too. Hey man, love doesn't even exist, bro. It's all just an illusion. Love is just a chemical reaction that occurs in your brain that was programmed to make us inclined to reproduce. Next up we have the OD, overdrunk. This is the 7th and final stage of being drunk. If you've seen the 7 stages of drunk video, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But some people are just prone to drinking way too much. And somehow, they always find themselves blackout drunk. But, yeah, there's not much to say. They're pretty much just unconscious. And of course, we have the chill drinker. These people are just pretty neutral. They just be talking at a normal volume about normal stuff. And honestly, these people are just overall enjoyable to be around, especially when you're drunk. Let me know in the comments if I missed anything. And also let me know which type of drinker you are.
Billy is one of my closest homies, and we've been friends ever since we were little kids. And for as long as I can remember, Billy's been a dumbass, bro. I'm talking, he's slightly retarded, you know what I mean? And everyone knows Billy for just 2 things. Always making the absolute worst decision possible, and always having the best stories, bro. Like, statistically, this motherfucker should have died 61 different times already, bro.
Nah, I got plot armor, bro.
Bro, no you don't.
I do.
Man, shut the fuck.
Hey! What the fuck?
Now, this story takes place on February 14th, 2025, Valentine's Day. And I'm gonna be so honest. This story is one of the craziest stories I've ever heard in my life, bro. So, wait, can you swear to them that is real?
It is.
Say you swear.
I swear, bro.
On everything you love, the Valentine's story happened, bro.
On everything I love, the Valentine's story really happened.
It was a fine Valentine's Day night. Bob, Billy, and I were awesome single dudes, except Billy had a little situation, you know. He was talking to a girl named Elise, and they would hang out from time to time, but it was a new thing, so they weren't really dating, and they were definitely not Valentine. I don't know much about Elise, but just 2 weeks prior, Billy was telling me about how he met some cute girl, they would text, they would hang out, but for whatever reason, their conversations would always be some like,
hey, how you doing?
Oh, I'm good. I am a little bit stressed because I'm moving and everything.
Oh, yeah, moving sucks. How about you come over, I relieve all your stress type shit.
Billy, I really like you.
I like you too, Elise.
But I think you might be a whore.
Wait, what?
You're most likely a bomb.
Okay, wait, I mean,
you're
like,
definitely a fuckboy.
Okay, chill now. I've never fucked a boy in my life.
So keeping that in mind, we were all single, and this Valentine's happened to land on a Friday, and because of this,
we're going to the club.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the plan was simple. We go to the drink store to get something to pregame, go back to my house, and then hit the club, fall in love, and live happily ever after. Now the problem was, Billy was stuck working a 9.5-hour shift until 10 p.m. Now he was the pizza delivery guy for a chain we'll call
Big Pizza.
So he's doing his thing, delivering those Valentine's pizzas. Well, me and Bob decide that we would go get the drinks now and meet Billy back at the crib once he's off work. So we hop in the car, we get to the drink store, and at this point, it's 9:30 p.m. And so Bob calls Billy to ask what he wants. No answer. I call him. No answer. We both text him. Nothing. Now, this was strange, because Billy usually responds while he's working, but we shrug it off. We go inside the store and get Billy his go-to bottle. So we go back to my house and get to my room at about 10 p.m. and still no word from Billy. So we're waiting for a good 20 minutes and then I get a text message from Billy. The craziest shit ever just happened. So I'm like, what happened? Bro, it's so crazy, I need to tell you in person. So Billy whips it over to my house, kicks down the door, and instantly starts breaking down the craziest plot I've ever heard, bro.
Yo, listen, this story takes place
1 hour ago.
It was 9:30 p.m. and Billy was finishing up a long 9.5 hour shift with his very last delivery of the night, but the problem was his phone was on 1%, and he didn't even have a charger, so Billy logs in and memorizes all the directions to get there right before his phone dies. So from one side of the city, Billy goes 100% straight off the dome to the other side of the city for his last delivery on this fine Valentine's Day night. Billy hops out of the car, walks up to the house, knocks, and they open the door.
Hey man, happy Valentine's Day.
Aw, thank you. Thank you so much, but I didn't order a pizza.
Oh shit, are you sure?
Gerald, did we order a pizza?
Fuck no!
Yeah, no, we didn't order a pizza.
I don't know, it says a Meat Lover's Pizza for 3516?
Aw, honey, no, this is 3416. 3516 is all the way around the back of the cul-de-sac.
Oh, okay, thank you, have a good night.
So Billy's walking for a good 8 minutes to get to the back of the cul-de-sac where at last he finds 3516. He walks up to the door, knocks, and a fine-looking woman in her 40s opens the door holding a vape, and Billy sees a little potential here.
Hey, happy Valentine's Day, man.
Aw, thank you.
Of course, beautiful. How's your Valentine's Day going?
You know, it's okay.
Why's it okay? You ain't got no special plans?
Well, honestly, my husband's out drinking at the bar, so... Bro, this was the perfect situation for Billy, bro. There's so many things he could say to make a move right here, and out of the infinite combinations of words he could put together, he says...
Well... A man's got a drink, you know?
Yeah, okay, yeah, well, anyways, here you go. Keep the change. Have a good one. Billy fucking sold, bruh. He missed a wide open layup, and as he turns around to head back to his car in shame, Billy gets an idea. A genius idea, if I do say so myself. So Billy turns back around, walks back up to the door, and knocks again.
Hey, what's up? Hey, so, my car, like the pizza car, is on the other side of the cul-de-sac, so if there's any way I could cut through, it'd save me like 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, of course, come in. And this motherfucker just got his own rebound off the backboard, bro, but he only has 60 seconds on the shot clock to make a move, and so he starts breaking down that professional barrier.
So, what's your name?
My name's Angelina. What's your name?
My name's Billy.
Wow, you have a very beautiful name.
And you have a very beautiful smile.
Oh, thank you. Holy fucking shit, he was cooking, but they had made it to the basement, meaning he only has 30 seconds left before he's back to the cold, lonely outside world. So Billy cooks up yet another genius play.
Angelina, I really hate to ask, but is there any way I could charge my phone real quick? Like, I just need to get it to like 5%.
Of course, honey, sit down. It's no worries at all. This motherfucker, Billy. Did it again, bro. Now, I don't know if it's because she just wanted some human connection on his Valentine's night, or she was genuinely just being nice, but this motherfucker's now in a position where he's posted up on this woman's couch in her basement at 10 p.m. on a Valentine's night.
Yo, what flavor is that?
Oh, it's mango ice. It's my favorite.
Damn. You think I could take a hit?
Only if I could hit chores.
Oh, shit, I bet.
So as these two fiends are bonding over a little nicotine addiction, Billy's like...
So you said your husband went up to the bar?
Yeah, yeah, he did. To be honest, it kind of hurts, because, like, it just sucks to be alone on Valentine's Day, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I feel you. I don't go to Valentine either. Type shit.
Now, at this very moment, Billy's about to shoot a shot farther than a three-pointer. Farther than a half-court, full-court football field. This was a blindfolded shot from Mars by a six-year-old kid with Down syndrome, bruh.
I mean, shit. We could be Valentine's tonight.
Oh, that's so sweet, but, my daughter's upstairs.
Ah, shit, yeah, yeah. I get it, but, like, this couch low-key spacious, though.
I mean, it's not that spacious.
Please?
Billy, you're funny. Now, at this moment, Billy's 0-for-3 with these shots. I mean, the defense line was tough. She's got a whole husband and a daughter who's just posted upstairs, probably waiting for that fucking pizza. But to be fair, Billy was still on the court, but his phone was already at a good 3% charge, so he needs a game-winning shot right now, and so he reaches deep into his bag. I'm talking middle school years. He pulls out a shot I never thought I would see in a big 2025.
This flavor's fire. Yo, let me show you a new trick.
Yeah? What is it?
Alright, so it's called a transfer. Basically, me and you just transfer the smoke.
Okay, teach me.
You gotta come closer, though, alright?
This
motherfucker Billy Swiss the shot, bro, against all odds. Just 15 minutes ago, he was some bum delivering her Big Caesar's pizza. All of a sudden, now she's hot and ready, bruh. And so Billy's making out with some random dude's wife for a good 5 minutes. Then she's like,
is your phone charged?
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yo, let me charge everything.
Of course, honey, it's my pleasure.
All right, I'm a text you.
Okay, drive safe.
And Billy leaves this married mother's house after making out with her as the fucking pizza delivery guy. Bro, what the fuck? Billy, are you dead ass?
I swear to God.
Bro, that story is fucking insane.
I mean, shit. I'm not dumb, bro.
Because if there's one thing that Big Caesar's taught Billy, it was how to deliver, bro. So he takes the receipt, boom, takes her number down and texts her. So he drives back to Big Caesar's, goes in, clocks out, hops in a car, drives home, goes inside, showers up, gets out the shower to check his phone. No response.
Damn.
So Billy tries calling her straight to voicemail. He changes the no caller ID and calls again, and it rings, meaning she blocked his ass, bro, and I have no clue why she would do such a thing. I mean, like, yeah, she has a husband and, like a kid and probably another boyfriend on the side, but damn, say something. And that's the moment when he gets a Snapchat notification. Elise has added you as a friend. Now, Elise is the girl he's been talking to on Snapchat, so why would she even have him unadded in the first place? So Billy's like,
you unadded me?
And she just hits him back with a WID.
Shit, I just got off work. What you doing?
I'm just chilling at home. And then there's a brief pause. Do you know whose house you were just in?
Do I know whose house I was just in? I've been to her house before. She doesn't even live close to...
Wait. And Billy starts piecing everything together. How Elise was moving houses. All the boxes laid out in that woman's house. How Elise's family loved eating Big Caesars. And the woman's daughter being upstairs the whole time.
Oh, fuck.
Billy hooked up with his girl's mom. Now, we have no clue what her mom told her, because it makes the most sense that she said something along the lines of,
hey, why did the pizza dude take so long?
Elise, I think he was flirting with me. Because let's be honest, what is the other option, bruh?
Hey, why did the pizza dude take so long?
Yeah, no, I mean, I just cheated on your father with the Big Caesar's pizza delivery guy who actually just happens to be your age. So Billy's texting Elise, trying to play it cool, like,
oh, I had no clue that was your house. What are the chances?
And she just says,
yeah, I get my good looks from my mom.
And then she blocked him again, bro. Because after telling her 100 times that he's not a hoe, he's not a bop, he's not a fuckboy,
I accidentally hooked up with her mom, bro.
Billy, you know I gotta make a video about this, right?
Yeah, I know.
There's levels to friendships. I mean, you could have known your homie since you were 2 years old. You could have lived together. I mean, you could have survived the whole zombie apocalypse together. But shit, the truth is, you haven't truly experienced brotherhood until you and your homie have participated in a two-man mission. Like, just look at Kobe and Shaq, man. That type of chemistry can only be achieved by running a two-man. Shit, I bet these motherfuckers were running two-mans every night. And you already know Kobe was laying down that Mamba mentality while Shaq had his girl, oh, kneeling. But for those of you who may be wondering, Chains, what the hell is a two-man mission? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's quite simple, really. It's when you're gonna link with a girl, but you bring your homie, and she brings her homie. And what this does is it sets an environment when you and your homie can dribble, pass, alley-oop, and ideally dunk that shit. Now don't get me wrong, it's simple, but not easy. I remember my first two-man mission like it was yesterday. It took place when I was in grade 7. And it started when my friend Joe hit me up like,
yo bro, I'm going to this girl Sophie's house and her friend Ava's there. You trying to pull up?
And I was like, am I trying to pull up? Hell yeah, I'm trying to pull up. So we show up to her house and I'm new to this whole thing. So I'm sitting there like,
so what?
What now?
We could watch a scary movie.
Yeah, let's do it.
Calm down.
Personally, I'm not a big fan of scary movies.
Man, shut the fuck.
So we're watching a scary movie, and to be honest with you, it was simply the best scary movie I'd ever seen in my entire life. So I was really getting invested in this plot. And Ava's like,
oh my god, I'm scared.
And that shit went way over my head.
What?
Why?
It's not even at the scary part yet. And then only 30 minutes into the movie, Joe and Sophie are like,
yo, we'll be right back.
Oh, okay. Do you guys want me to pause the movie?
Nah, it's all good, bro.
And you see, what Joe just did right there was a calculated move. In basketball terms, he just said an ISO. So now it was two 1v1s. And the situation was absolutely perfect, but the problem was, I actually liked the fucking movie. And that violates rule number 3 in section 7 of how to pull off a successful two-man. Never give a fuck about the movie. Because the truth is, the movie length is like the shot clock. If you end up actually watching the entire movie, you failed the mission. But I had no clue, and to be honest, I didn't even know what a two-man was at the time. So I got some popcorn, and I was just watching the movie. But when the climax of the movie was about to come around, I did something that violated every term and agreement of the two-man mission. I went over to Joe and Sophie like, hey guys, quick, you're gonna miss the best part. Oh, fuck. And I missed the climax of the movie, but shit, I seen a climax. And needless to say, Joe never invited me to a two-man mission since. But you know I had to redeem myself, even if it was 3 years later when I was in grade 10. It was a Saturday night, and me and Bob were looking for something to do. And I'm gonna keep it a stack with you, bro. I had no motion. Like, my Snapchat was drier than a Popeye's biscuit, bro. But lucky for me, Bob had a roster. And I'm talking an all-star lineup of girls who just want Bob on their body. And I don't blame them. I mean, shit, I got Bob on my body right now. And you can too at chainsclub.shop. That's right, we got hoodies, shirts, beanies, socks, keychains, stickers, you name it. And starting at the price of $4.20, Bob can be all yours. Or if you want me, I wouldn't mind being on your keychain or something.
Jamie, likewise.
So as I was saying, me and Bob were bored. So Bob hits up this girl named Avery like, what are you doing right now? And she's like, just chilling. Who you with? My friend Alice. Let's link. I'm with my homie. Okay, is he cute? Cute as hell. Okay, come over. And I'm excited as fuck, so we get Bob's sister to drive us to Avery's crib, and as we pull up to her house, I remember a crucial detail that I'd been forgetting this whole time. I was scared of the hose, bruh. And as we walked up to her door, I was starting to get flashbacks of me and Joe's two man, where Joe tossed up an alley-oop for both of us, and I blocked his shot, metaphorically and literally. And as I'm psyching myself up, Bob calls Avery to tell her we're here, and she's like, so, my parents are asleep, so you're gonna have to come in through my window. Shit. So we walk around the side of the house to Avery's room, and lucky for us, there's this big-ass window, and I'm like, yo, can you open it so we can get in? And she's like, it is open. Bro, only this tiny ass rectangle in the top left was open at a 60 degree angle. But that was our only way in, so I helped Bob up and through the window. But now I gotta get up there, and I'm bigger than Bob, so I put my head through and I'm trying to slowly creep into the room. And then I lean just a little too far, and I'm headed face first onto Alice's hardwood floor. And listen, Bob has come in clutch many times. He saved me from drowning, coyotes, getting in trouble, but out of all these things, I'm most grateful for Bob catch me as I fell through this fucking window. Because drowning and dying would have been pretty bad, like boo-hoo, rip chains, you know what I'm saying? But imagine falling through a window and eating shit face first in front of the hose. Like, I would have preferred the drowning, bro. But after that close call, I was a little flabbergasted, you know what I'm saying? But Alice has the audacity to ask me this loaded-ass question, like, oh, hey, what's your name?
Me?
Yeah, you.
The name's for real.
Chains for real. Nice to meet you, Mr. For Real. I'm Alice. And so we all just start talking and shit, but I keep noticing Alice was getting a bunch of text messages. And I remember thinking it was probably her mom or something, so I shrugged that shit off, and I'm like, yo, we should watch a movie.
Yeah, we should. Yeah.
And I wasn't about to make the same mistake I made last time, so I found the most dog shit horror movie on the face of Netflix and threw that shit on. And man, that shit was ass. In fact, it was so ass that we just started cuddling and shit, like, what else was there to do? But now that we were close, I could feel the vibrations of Alice's phone getting a call, so she's like, one second, I'll be right back. And I wasn't trying to eavesdrop, but I could low-key hear what she was saying through the door.
I'm just at Avery's house. We're watching a movie. Oh my god, okay, that's fine.
Okay.
But when she comes back, she puts a pillow between us. Like the same type of shit two dudes do to make sure they don't fuck in their sleep. And I'm trying to piece everything together, and as I'm coming to the conclusion that this girl has a boyfriend, I hear footsteps coming towards the door. And when the door opens, I'm fucking bamboozled to see a 60-year-old man who looks furious. And I'm just hoping this isn't Alice's boyfriend, because if it is, we got bigger problems on our hands. But as I seen the way this man looked at Bob, I realized he's Avery's dad. And Bob wasted no time jumping out that fucking window. But for me, let's just say that shit wasn't very elegant, because I got stuck for what felt like 5 minutes making eye contact with this grown-ass man.
Well, what are you trying to seduce, my dad or something? Like, get the fuck out.
And I'm not gonna lie, we ran, bro. And once we made it home, me and Bob were relieved. But when I go to check my phone, I got a little notification on Snapchat. And I'm expecting it to be Alice or maybe even Team Snapchat or something, I don't know. But I sure as hell wasn't expecting it to be a motherfucker named Ryan Donaldson. And Ryan must have woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning, because he's like, what the fuck did you do, dude? So I hit him back with a, who dis? And he's like, Ryan Donaldson. Yeah, no, I can see your username, bruh, but I have no clue who you are. I'm Alice's boyfriend, bitch. And Ryan got his shit hit with an instant block, bro. And so the moral of the story is, if you're gonna... There's a lot of awkward things in life, like the handshake fist bump dilemma, or waving back to someone who is waving to the dude behind you, or the U2 situation. Enjoy your meal, sir.
Thanks, you too.
Actually?
Wait, no.
But on this long list of things that will keep you up at night, I feel like school dances lands itself in the top three, bro. Cause it's like, is it a party or is it a school event? Are we hitting the Dougie or are we just standing awkwardly in the corner? There's just too many questions, bro. Like another question, who the fuck hired this guy to be the DJ? Like, I don't know how much they pay this dude, but it can't be anything over 50 bucks. I remember at my first middle school dance, I seen the DJ walk in with all his gear and shit, and I thought, damn, look at those big-ass speakers. This dude knows what he's doing for sure.
Hey, Stickman Middle, are we ready to turn up?
Yeah! One, two, three, let's go! So I walk over there to give bro some song requests that he so desperately needs, and as I walk up to this dude's expensive ass setup, I look down at his laptop, and this motherfucker's on Spotify, and he's moving around the volume slider like he's doing some shit. Like, bro, I could've done this shit for free. Nah, trust me, bro, I know what I'm doing, dude.
Want a break from the ads?
Now, to be honest, it was really the middle school dance that had me fucked up. Like, you took a bunch of self-conscious, prepubescent little kids and threw on some music and told them to dance with each other. Like, shit, of course they're gonna start hitting those Fortnite emotes, bro. That's all they know how to do. Like, these grade sixes are fresh out of elementary school. There's no way you'll catch one of these youngins asking a girl to dance. Like, they're still scared of catching cooties, bro. Or what about the grade sevens? These kids were straight menaces. Like, I remember at my grade seven dance, there was a duo. We'll call them Greg and Roderick. Greg and Roderick would run up on some unsuspecting students, and Greg would slide behind them on his hands and knees, and Roderick would casually strike up a conversation. And just when the poor guy was expecting it least, Roderick would shove his ass, causing the unsuspecting victim to trip and eat shit. And they went around to damn near everyone pulling this shit, until one time they messed with the wrong dude.
Hey bro, is this a prank?
Now grade 8. These boys are damn near in high school. They don't dance. It'll ruin their street cred, bruh. Instead, they prefer mosh pits. Rap, EDM, fucking smooth jazz. It doesn't matter what song. These grade 8s will be relentlessly jumping up and down for no apparent reason. And soon, these grade 8s will turn into freshmen. All that street cred they once had, gone. If you push one of these freshmen into the middle of a dance circle, he'll stress so hard, he'll start malfunctioning and hit those fucking Fortnite dances again. Now, grade 10s. Most of these grade 10s are a little self-conscious, but if you throw one of them into the dance circles...
Let's go, Michael! Ooh,
let's see it, yes, let's go!
Guys, what? I don't know how to dance.
Yes, Michael, let's go, Michael!
Well, I guess I can bust out a few dance moves. All of a sudden, dude's got moves like Jagger. Come to find out, bro's been practicing
practicing for this moment in his room for months. So once these grade 10s soon become sophomores, those YouTube tutorials start paying off for real. And if they're lucky, they might even catch some cooties, bro. And these seniors just simply don't give a fuck.
Bro, watch this. I'm about to hit the worm.
What? You know how to hit the worm?
No.
And I'm not done flaming this fucking DJ. Like, this dude be leaving my balls more blue than Squidward paws.
Oh, hell.
Is that lo-fi? And then out of nowhere, really quick, the DJ will throw on some heat, and it'll have everybody turning up. But just as fast as Pop Smoke got that shit jumping, Ed Sheeran shut that bitch right back down. Like, mixing drill with the Shape of You has to be some sort of felony, bro. Like, tell me this dude deserves to roam the streets freely after pulling some shit like that. In fact, funny story, I had seen the DJ after the dance in the parking lot one time, and we walked up and we jumped the fuck out of him. Alright, but not all DJs were out here committing war crimes on my ears. Like, you know the DJ was onto some shit when he got the students and the teachers turning up. Like, you play the right song and these teachers will forget they're on chaperoning duty. Shit, even the principal will start wilding out. Once you got the right song playing, motherfuckers will get hype over anything. Like, remember how hype it was when someone would land a flip in the middle of a mosh pit? Shit, remember how hype it was when someone didn't land a flip in the middle of a mosh pit? These motherfuckers were excited as ever, like they didn't just witness a dude snap his neck. Poor guy's probably getting trampled down there. Rest in peace. Sacrifice his life for a few Snapchat memories. But you know that one song, that when the DJ throws that hoe on, everybody knows what to do. Motherfuckers will run in from the bathroom, teachers will hop in, the Redditors will hop off the bleachers, and the school dance will be looking like something straight out of High School Musical, bro. Speaking of High School Musical, back in the day, I knew a dude named Troy. I fucked with Troy, but let's just say, he had a little bit of a lean gut. He was built like T. Grizzly. Nah, fuck that. He was built like DJ Khaled. And I remember this dude, Troy, was just coming off of school suspension. But for whatever reason at the dance, this motherfucker must have been looking for another one. Because Troy came up to me talking about how he was going to beat Jordan Johnson's ass at the dance tonight. And honestly, I ain't believing him. So once the dance came around, he was beefing JJ every chance that he got, until soon JJ wasn't gonna stand for it. Now, a school dance is simply the best time for a school fight to take place. For the dude who wins. For the dude who loses, you literally have every single motherfucker in your school gathered in one place to get several different 4K angles of you getting pieced up. So Troy was really putting everything on the line here, because JJ was known for handing out whoopings like food stamps. But to be fair, Troy loved food. Regardless, JJ wasn't scared. In fact, he threw the first punch. Boom. But Troy ate that shit like a Wendy's 4-for-4 combo. And instantly, the entire school gathered in a circle. The circle was so big, there was no escaping. They were gonna have to fight to the death. But the DJ was so locked in that he was completely oblivious to what was happening. He was playing some happy-go-lucky ass shit.
Oh, shit. Boom. Daniel,
yo,
get his ass.
Let's go.
Beat his ass,
Troy.
JJ.
I'm
Jordan Johnson.
Now, the moral of that story is don't get into a fight at the school dance. Unless you know you're going to win. Now, on another note, asking someone to dance is a very important topic when it comes to school dances. Now, girls, I'm sorry, I can't help you with this one. I've never asked a dude to dance before. But boys, shit, I can't help you either. I'm like 0 for 15 with this shit. But I do know someone who can. I'm talking about the homie Bob. So Bob, how do you ask a girl to dance?
Watch and learn.
Is this motherfucker moonwalking right now? Oh shit. Oh, what the fuck?
We'll be right back.
I just got robbed by a gay homeless dude in Japan. Who's with me? You know? Like, anyone. Yo, anyone. Yo. Yo, is this not relatable?
Right, no fucking way.
What
the fuck does that even happen?
Not again, bro.
Now, I'm not gonna lie. Japan is one of the safest countries in the entire world. And apparently there's only 3,065 homeless motherfuckers in the entire country. So in order to get robbed by a homeless dude in Japan, you either need to be unlucky as fuck or just a complete dumbass. But way back when this story took place, I was a certified dickhead, bro. At the time, I had the critical thinking skills of a newly born chimpanzee mixed with the spatial awareness of a fucking Joe Biden on top of the decision making skills of Joe Biden's son. So with that being said, this story takes place way, 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 way back a few weeks ago when me, Bob, and Billy hopped on a flight to Tokyo. And as soon as we arrived in the city, we started absorbing all that food, bro. Sushi, ramen, fucking cow testicles, you name it, we ate it. And after an entire week of decimating every last crumb of food in Tokyo, we thought, well, that was fun. I guess it's time to go home. Yeah, I guess so. And as we're ready to pack it up, we overhear a few people talking.
Oh, hey, konnichiwa. We come from the United States of America. How do we go to Osaka?
Yeah, man, Osaka has some of the best food in Japan. Just take this train right here and you're there.
Wow, your English. Very good.
I'm from Washington, dipshit.
Oh, I see. Washington, dipshit. Is that Chinese or...
Holy shit, did you hear that?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that guy's fucking clueless.
No, I'm talking about Osaka. Apparently the food's even better over there.
Oh, shit, yeah, but, don't you think we had enough food already?
I mean, shit, we are in Japan.
Fuck it, bro, let's go.
So we hopped on the train and got off in Osaka. And like the certified fat asses me and the boys are, we were looking around for some food. And the moment we seen all-you-can-eat Wagyu beef for just 30 bones, we all knew what had to happen. We walked in that bitch and wasted no time. We were running through that meat like Tiana Trump in her prime. Cause sometimes we were burning the meat, sometimes we were taking it raw. But at the end of the day, the meat filled us up and made us happy. So we thanked the owner, left the shop, and headed back to our hotel. And